Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Last Week on Keeping the Girl. I am your host, Karen. I am back. I am no longer in the studio audience no more. I grabbed the microphone and I Roger's hands and I was like, the studio audience has something to say. So I made it to the front and it's 100% Marad.
Hey, what's going on?
Yay. And y'all know why we are here. We are not alone. If we're ever alone, there is something wrong. If you hear me and Roger's voice and you do not hear one and or both of these voices, it is Keith and Hemda. How are y'all doing?
Woot woot.
Hello. Actually, now I'm like, ooh, that would be a good one.
Just but us showed up by ourselves.
I am no longer coming up with ideas that come to fruition in this realm. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep telling you my ideas on mic, and Keith would be like, I'm so glad she's leaving.
He's like, that's extra work. No,
right.
not going to do that. I'm glad that you two have had a good week. You two have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how long it's been. I'm thinking Thanksgiving. Well, like, yeah.
Wow.
Hot minute.
Yes, yes, yes. Spent all day cooking, but like fun stuff. Giant thing of meat. Some weird spatchcock chicken thing. Mac and cheese like I've never had it before. Yeah. The potato, I forget what kind of way, where you like stick butter and cheese into it 20 times and it's only one potato. What's that called? Something.
Twice baked?
Yeah,
maybe. Is it twice baked?
Double stuffed. So if you call it twice baked,
we had to bake it 100 times. You just take it out of the oven.
Double stuffed.
You put more fat on it. Cheese.
Yeah. Sour cream. And you mix it and you stuff it in there. Bake it again. Yeah. Put bacon on top. That's what I'm talking about.
And also, what are those little, God, there was a vegetable on the table. Not asparagus. God damn it. Who cares?
Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts. So everything was healthy and don't worry about it. Oh, yeah.
That's how it worked.
And then when you have just mac and cheese for lunch the next day, don't talk to anybody about that.
No one cares. The day of Thanksgiving,
Brussels sprouts go bad in the fridge and we all know why.
Along with the broccoli raw. If I'm saying that right, I was saying broccoli Rob, and Roger was like, Karen,
Rob. No, you were saying broccoli raw.
Okay, so
and it's broccoli Rob.
Okay, it's broccoli raw. I kept calling.
Oh, what are you doing? You're not even listening to me. It's broccoli Rob.
Right.
Oh,
it's broccoli arugula.
Oh, the broccoli is robbing me, broccoli Rob.
Sure. Yes.
Yes.
The restaurant is robbing you. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Karen, I 100% know that, like, I don't know what the percentage is that really should have been the poll around that broccoli Rob time. I know that a lot of people were thinking broccoli raw. Like, Kyle just loves raw broccoli and Keith loves saying things weird. And that's okay.
I'm gonna just cook it.
Might eat it.
I understand. Rock just even served it to me and I'm still mispronouncing it. Oh, that thing Keith was talking about.
Every time you eat broccoli raw, are you like, I think you're ruining this. Think you're cooking it.
Shouldn't it just be dipped in ranch? What is happening?
Right. What is happening here? Ranch, dip everything in ranch. Yes.
What is ranch? I don't eat ranch, but like, what is it? It's a tangy, why is it white? It's white,
buttermilk.
Right?
Buttermilk, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times it's buttermilk based.
But you know what's weird though is like if you buy ranch in a grocery store, it's never as good as the ranch that's just in a bar.
No, nope.
But I hear that's because the bar they have to make the ranch like every day or some shit.
Yep.
Like you mix the ingredients to make your ranch dressing in the back with some shit.
Then you put it in an air fryer because like everything is so good in an air fryer. Am I right?
Yes, everything goes in the air fryer. And there is a difference between like your Hidden Valley ranch and your normal ranches. And everybody goes, they taste the same. No, they do not. They taste the same. Mm-mm.
No, because the stuff that's on the shelf has to have more shitty ingredients in it in order to stay on the shelf for that long.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like McDonald's and the Sprite. You can only get that Sprite that tastes like straight cocaine at the McDonald's pump. You can't mimic that nowhere else. You can get all the cans and bottles you want. Only McDonald's can give you the good crack. I do not know what it is. You hit it and it just hits your nose just right. I can't explain it.
That's true.
But it is absolutely delicious.
It makes my teeth hurt if I get the Sprite from the McDonald's. Like, they need to cut it with water or something.
You know what? You're right. I've had Diet Coke from McDonald's where I'm like, good morning.
Yes. What is it? What's in there?
I don't even know that it's the caffeine. Somehow mm-hmm. the bubbles are bigger going down my throat. And I'm like, I better open up. Good morning.
Yeah.
It's something about the syrup mixture. It's like completely different than like your standard. It has to be.
Yeah.
I work there. I think they put coffee in everything. You work there?
I work there and I don't know the difference. I've worked at McDonald's. I've refilled the machine.
Yeah, I got the syrup.
I've drank it and I don't know why, but it hits way harder at McDonald's.
They doing special with the machines.
They probably own it. They probably own Sprite, they Coke, probably do. Pepsi. Get the fuck out of here. They're all together. There's like a kitchen in the back and it's also Chipotle and fucking, come on.
We know the truth. We know the truth.
Yeah. Mysteries of life.
Yes. Roderick, mm-hmm. who is the sponsor today?
Today's sponsor. Well, this episode is brought to you by Shopliftify. It's the holiday season, and it's time to get everybody some gifts. But in this economy where everyone wants a tip, and you got to check your own self out at the self-checkout, who has the money for all of that? I say you follow the sage example of Keith Malley, and you beep one for you and one for them, and you just, you know, and you get maybe that's your niece's gift, you know, maybe you get a candle for your mom, you just, you know, and then to get a candle for the house. So
that's one for you Liftify. And two for me and tonight.
There you go. Shopliftify. You can find this everywhere you shop. Just don't go on a website or anything. Just go straight to the store. Don't tell them that we sent you this time. You might want to keep that one to yourself.
Self-checkout only.
Yeah, you might. Well, I mean, self-checkout, no checkout, in the aisle, put it in a coat. I don't
roll out the front door.
Yeah.
I just, can I suggest just one thing? Maybe like, now there used to be either water-based or oil-based. I suggest the water-based white clown makeup that just to make sure that, and maybe like a pinkish hue. Mm-hmm. And then maybe Shopliftify.
Well, last week on Keith and the Girls, not responsible for anybody that tries to do this. Is not a white man. Might get caught and might end up getting in jail. And that's not our fault. You shouldn't just did that shit. Just understand that only white dudes can get away with this.
Please check your privilege.
Shopliftify.
That's a disclaimer.
Mm-hmm.
What about that minimum wage? What is they doing out in these streets?
Ooh, this is a good one. This is a good one if I say so myself. It reminds me a bit of Keith's Justin.
Okay.
Mm. I say Taco Bell.
Oh, you're close.
Oh, shit.
This restaurant has been mentioned on this show already.
Oh, the one that Karen pretends to like. Arby's.
McDonald's.
So close. So close. So far. An Ohio woman.
Oh, KFC. That's my final offer.
Wendy's.
Nope. Not Wendy's. Nope.
Okay.
Keith,
okay.
Would you like to hazard a guess?
McDonald's.
12% Asian. What?
Keith, did you guess? I'm sorry.
McDonald's, yes.
Okay, all right. The correct answer is Chipotle. You all were so close.
Fuck. All around. In fact, we talked about them earlier.
Yes, we did.
Wouldn't have guessed Chipotle. Okay.
An Ohio woman convicted of assault for throwing her Chipotle order at an employee was given an opportunity to reduce her sentence.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Did she throw it around the rice or did she throw it around the topping of cheese?
Did she throw it at the warmer?
Did she throw it at the peppers and onions? Or did she throw it at, do you want a fajita or do you want a bowl?
True. Also, like, what kind of item was it? Because I feel like a burrito would hurt more.
Yes.
But a burrito bowl would be harder to clean up.
Yes. So a burrito would be assault with a deadly weapon.
Yeah.
And the bowl would be harassment and really just a mess.
Yeah. Vandalism for the bowl.
Yes.
Parma Municipal Court Judge Timothy Gilligan sentenced 39-year-old Rosemary Hain, 39, throwing food.
Well, she's got reason to be angry by that age. Not Chipotle, but something.
She throws it, men are trash.
And everyone's like, you know what? Okay.
She got a point.
You get one.
So she was found guilty of one count of assault. At her sentencing hearing, the judge told her she could have the chance to work off her sentence by working at a fast food restaurant.
She's white. She's 100% white. She might even be naturally blonde. Definitely light eyes, maybe when the sun is shining a little more than the moon. But this is the whitest shit I've ever, ever fucking heard.
Dude, you're a shitty
landlord. You got to live in your building. Oh, that's so funny. You don't respect people and their jobs.
Your punishment is to work like an asshole in a real asshole place with assholes.
And the assholes there are like, I'll just take money, not having to work with this bitch now. Like, what about the fucking people who are there? Like, I had to wake up like last week, not because it's a sentence, because it's my life.
That's so true now.
Right. What does this say about you having to work there that your job is community service?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think of it like that. Yeah. Damn. Like,
it was either this or cleaning up the highway. The judge said you didn't get your burrito bowl the way you liked it. And this is how you respond. This is not Real Housewives of Parma. This behavior is not acceptable.
He says
this judge is too cute.
He says it every court case.
Is this a male judge?
A woman judge.
Sorry. It was a little too cute. Sorry, women. I love you. You're way better than men. I'm looking at two men right now. I don't give a shit. Looking right in their eye. They don't even know it. They don't even know it. But that was that felt female to me. That felt female. I'm wrong.
I'm sorry. It's Judge Timothy Gilligan. So I'm assuming a dude.
Well, you shouldn't assume here in Nation, okay. Right?
You don't know.
I don't know. I'm taking it back.
I don't have a picture. I don't have any. I don't know. I haven't seen his ID. I don't care. But
now here's a lesson that we learned, right? I thought that was bitch shit. So I blamed it on women. And that's my fault. And right now I'm worse than a man. Look at this. Two men in the room, and I became the worst person. Just,
two men in the room that knew how to shut the fuck up.
You know?
That's hilarious.
And they're looking at me like, you think I'm talking? And I'm like, no, I'll talk for you. You've been talking for me my whole fucking life. And look at me on a pedestal. Here comes another fucking cat on my way out. There it is. That's what sexism gets you. Canceled. Now, I canceled myself first this time, which is the wrong order to go, according to the people who are successful. But anyway.
Hain reportedly apologized to the court and to the Chipotle worker, Emily Russell, and said there was no excuse for behavior.
Please put me in jail. There's no excuse. Jail instead, yeah. Please.
Please, I'd rather do the time, Your Honor. But she added she was not here. Oh, here's she apologized, but then she added she was not happy with the way her food was prepared.
Sure.
If I showed you how my food looked and how my food looked a week later from that same restaurant, it's disgusting looking. Hain said.
Wait, you had it a week later?
I'm guessing she's like, I went there, like if I would have. Yeah, I went there once and it was presentable,
and then a different time it was vomitous looking.
Right.
I get it, because it's like, really? That's how I'm supposed to bite into a burrito with all the rice on top? And then but really, when you think about it, they're doing it right in front of you. They're layering it like it's a lasagna. So how much different could it be? Also, just squish it a little bit. Things will move around.
Yeah, it's all going down the same pipe.
I've had badly made.
Like, no one eats the burrito bowl like a little bit of rice. A little guacamole. That's for me. A little bean. Like, everyone just eats that mushy shit the same way.
Yeah, keep in mind, it's a burrito bowl.
Right.
What, you didn't like the layering?
You chose what was on now.
The presentation was off.
It doesn't look as shiny, glossy. What's happening here?
So 3 months ago, a video showing the confrontation went viral. It was posted to Reddit. Someone with a cell phone recorded as Hayne took her Chipotle order, took it to the counter, slammed it down in front of Russell. Moments later, Hayne is seen throwing the entire bowl in the worker's face. I bet you won't be happy with the food you are going to get in jail, the judge said.
Zinger.
I like this judge, but he's, but also, like, I don't think judges should be doing this, but I kind of like so. It.
We know that in jail, it's almost illegal what we serve you. So good fucking luck.
He's shitting on the whole system. He's shitting on Chipotle, yeah. Jail. the Senate.
Hope you like working for Ford for no pay.
good thing you threw that in their face, because it would have come out in front of everybody in jail. It's not as, you know what? It needs to be a one liner. I get it.
Yeah. You know what? The judge. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I got to go back and give him a little more props. He's pretty good at this.
It's not easy.
Do you think he's like working on his type five before the, like,
you know, he,
nah, that's not gonna, I gotta,
that's not gonna kill it.
There's gotta be one sentence. It's not gonna work.
Let's see. Someone's already saying, don't piss on my back. What can I say?
I bet you got some hot sauce. No, that's terrible.
Don't drop the soap in jail. No, that's probably not right.
Him and the other judges compare tapes and shit.
Yeah.
Damn, Billy got me. I gotta come up with something.
When he has a bad day in court, it's not about the rulings. This is like, he wasn't killing. He's like, I bombed, baby. I bombed in court today.
Nobody laughed at my shit.
God killed a kid. And I was like, oh, I bet you that's not child's play. And like, no one laughed. Hayne was sentenced to 180 days in jail with 90 days suspended. The judge said he would give her 60 days jail credit if she agreed to work at least 20 hours per week at a fast food restaurant for 2 months.
Are those credits transferable or just to my sentence? What are we saying? Have you ever heard of credits?
I bet you she becomes manager. That's the kicker.
Of the judge?
What if she starts working at Chipotle and her burrito bowls are so fucking on point, though?
Yes. Yeah. She's like, this is how you're supposed to make it.
Like, Emily's sitting there like, you know what? I got to give you props. You're right. You taught me how to make a bowl.
Plus, Stacey gonna be cleaning and shit. She gonna.
I would throw that bowl in my face too. Honestly,
but you know what? You know what though? What if? Okay, the person that she threw the bowl at, right? That person comes in when she's working, throws it at her face, then presents in front of the judge and says, "What are you gonna do? Make me work there? I already do."
Right.
Or that's how
time
you get
served, Your Honor.
That's how you get a job. You go to that town, you throw food at their face, all of a sudden, you're the meatball person at IKEA.
Yeah. Matter of fact, don't think small. Drive a fucking car through a car dealership window. Now you're a fucking car salesman.
It's so funny. It's like, you don't know how to behave when you're the customer. How about when you're dealing with the money and customers? That should be easy as pie. Let's see. You have a temper. Would you like a job?
Go to an NBA game, throw the ball in a player's face. Now you're playing. Okay.
That's not how that works.
The judge sentences you like, you got to play 3 months with the Warriors.
I throw food at the judge. That's got to be a good job.
No joke. I bet this is a promo for the next fucking reality show.
Yeah.
We're all being punked right now.
We are.
I'm the only one who doesn't know. Show. I'm the only one who doesn't know. And I'm vigilant and you will not get me. I know I'm on camera right now.
The Chipotle's court.
Look, if we can have Judge Steve Harvey, this man could be a judge too.
Timothy Gilligan. It's a viral ad for Chipotle. That's you what guys, this really is.
I just recently watched the Harvey, what's his face?
Judge Steve Harvey.
The Steve Harvey movie. It is a long commercial for his book. The entire movie is, let's go reference Steve Harvey's book. And these are.
Oh, I know. You're talking about that rom-com from like a
few years ago.
Like a decade.
Think like a man or something.
Yeah. Think like a man, act like a woman.
So bad.
They had like two of those. They did one and two.
Really?
That's
wow.
So bad. You guys love Steve Harvey. This is 100%
Steve Harvey.
You would have loved this movie.
I don't love his book. I don't read his fucking book. Who reads his fucking book? I don't want to watch a movie that he's barely in about his book. No. But will I watch him do stuff like a versus between Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Isley Brothers, and he's just running off stage after every single song as if, and then telling long, boring stories about his life, like, oh, I remember the 1968. 1968. What? Player? Play it again. Like, I'll watch that a million times. That's why I love Steve Harvey.
Did you just describe something fun, or is this how you hate watch something? Because and then you described
his judge show. It's so good.
Yes, I am here for Steve Harvey. Somebody giving like a stupid answer. He looking at them, walking away.
Mm-hmm.
That old face, that old
getting all the way out of the judge chair. Walking all the way down the fucking.
It's dumb.
Walking all the way down the stairs, all the way over to the fucking defendant, putting his arm around him and be like, "Now what you just say, player? Go say that again. Say that one more time. I don't think they heard you." A million times. I watched that all day. I won't take any of his advice.
Nope.
And I don't think he's necessarily a good person, a good role model, but. Mm-mm. Love him.
Okay. You're a fan of the feud, right? Where he's like, all right, the kids are asleep. The lights are off. Name something you do in your bedroom. Have sex with my wife. What?
He takes the cars and puts them to the top of his head and walks off.
Mercy me, the vapors. It's a family show.
You just said, did he just say what I think?
He's almost running around like he's a guy on Maury, you know? Oh, shit. And then he goes, show me sex. Ding, number one answer. No shit.
Right. Of course it's sex. And then he walks around. I also love that he 100% biasedly always roots for the black people.
Hmm. Yes.
Like if it's black versus white, it's obvious who he wants to win every single time.
It is hilarious.
It's not fair, but it's goddamn funny as hell.
He's whispering the answer in their ear, pretending to kiss them on the cheek. Like, no, I'm just harassing people like the other guy did.
When the black people miss, he is so distraught. He's like, that's the answer. That's the final answer. Oh, show me sex. the victim, Russell, told the judge she left her job at Chipotle because of the incident, which traumatized her. Yeah, she did tell the news outlet that she thought the sentence was fair, which I think says a lot about how it sucks to work at Chipotle. Yeah. She's like, nah, I quit because it's terrible. And her having to work 20 hours a week is more than fair than jail. So there you go.
Yeah, she's going to get somebody to cuss out, say something all crazy to her. Yell at her.
She will cry at work.
Yes. Most people that have had any form of front-facing customer service job.
20 hours a week for 4 months or whatever the fuck.
Some period of time.
That is enough time for somebody to do something, make you cry.
Has cried. I've cried in the freezer. Yeah, I've cried in the bathroom. Yes, mm-hmm. I've cried several places.
I cried in the break room.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever there's a door, I have cried.
Yes.
The break room didn't even have a door on it. I just couldn't hold it. I said, I'm going down. No one look.
I cried because the lunch is the same shitty burger.
Yeah. Why is my life? The end of it, Gilligan says, so I thought, why should the city taxpayers pay for her and feed her for 90 days in jail if I could teach her a sense of empathy? I also hope this deters others from this type of behavior. The end.
I mean, I say go pick up trash on the highway only because you're saying that a minimum wage job, that a job in these kinds of places is a place where a parent could feed their child, is a place where you can have insurance, live right, pay your rent, mortgage, move up in the world, have the American dream. You said that about these places, and now it's a sentence. Come on.
Yeah, and it's I think for me, it's kind of a catch-22. The thing is, if they're not going to go to jail, I feel like this is a decent sentence, because maybe it's just me, and because I've worked those shitty ass jobs, people who've never had those jobs they have a tendency not to understand. They just, you can't understand, you can't comprehend.
But you know what? I've had customer service jobs. People have called me stupid. They're so mean. Yes. No, if I had to pick up trash on the highway in that outfit, it would be way more humbling because it's that's still, you know, I don't know.
It depends.
I think for Hemda, it wouldn't be as humbling because she just does stuff like that for fun. Like, oh, I'm just going to walk out in nature and pick up things for a few hours.
That's true.
It's not even really a punishment to me.
No.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you.
I got my 10,000 step for the week.
I was gonna
be walking anyway.
I was gonna hike through there anyway.
Yes, I was gonna walk from Bronx to Brooklyn anyway.
It'll be an extra arm workout if I pick up things. Yes. Thank you.
Add a little bit of weight to it.
Yeah. one piece of trash at a time.
Right. She's gonna be cheering everybody up. She's gonna be the cheering squad. They're gonna make her the team captain and shit. Right. No, thank you.
Honestly, I think it's the orange jumpsuit that makes it embarrassing. If you could just get out there.
Oh, that's the one I want. I want the jumpsuit. That's like, the only thing I want.
Because everybody driving by in that little ass town, like, what the fuck Hemda done did?
She just wanted the outfit.
Yeah. Yes, because you know everybody knows each other's
Why is she dancing, picking up the trash? I don't understand.
Does she have my coveralls. You have coveralls. I have coveralls. Sashay. Woohoo.
She be getting on everybody else's nerves. They be like, if you don't calm this goddamn happiness down, we're picking up trash. Hilarious. KATG, episode 3747, Have Some Dignity with Liz Miley. That's not right. Mm-mm.
Let's say mine was Mally.
And so mine was Khalili.
So that one's different.
Sweet, sweet Liz.
Sweet, sweet Liz. Did I just butcher her name?
Liz Mealy.
Thank you. Liz Mealy and Neil Rubenstein.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, Rubenstein. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's just funny. It's the one with more syllables you get.
The way my brain functions in this episode.
Wait, where are the assholes?
That's the biggest question.
What? Is that the kettle? I gotta go.
Like what?
Okay, I'll allow you to split them up. Okay, was Liz an asshole?
No.
Okay. What? My reasons of deduction.
Okay.
What about Neil?
Like, what the fuck? Like, what? Like, what?
What happened, Keith?
This motherfucker. I'll tell you what happened even before the show. I thought it might be funny to talk about. He has a bunch of tattoos. Kind of just going, I have a tattoo on my hand too. You know, it's that stupid little smiley face. And so, like, it's interesting. Is that like getting a dot at a tattoo shop? And that's offensive to people that take tattoos seriously. I go, well, actually, let's wait till the show. I do want to talk about it. I'm curious. And he said something to the effect of, actually, I can talk about anything all the time. It's kind of what I do. So I have infinite amount of stories. That's just an interesting bonus.
What?
To the show.
That's not what happened during the show. Oh, you go ahead.
No, that's it. Not really. Was it? How do you mean?
Right. Because listening to the show, my thing is this, and this irritates me because Hemda was talking about the difference between asking questions and being nosy. There is a difference. You brought these things up. You did. Y'all didn't, you bought these things up. So now I'm inquiring about the things that you bought up because you bought them up because I'm assuming that you want to talk about it on the show where we goddamn talk. We talk on this show. That's why you're here to talk. And it was like, we'd rather talk about anything else. That shit made no sense at all. And this right here is why I'm like, well, what the fuck then? Like, that didn't make any sense to me.
We almost called you guys right after the show because...
Because, like, it's going to be vacation break. Should we just record this one episode right now, our thoughts on it?
We would have.
I was like, no, I'll remember. Because Keith called me and I was like, what? And I don't remember what I said. I'm sorry, Keith. I thought I would remember. But I was like, what the hell just happened? And I just rattled off some stuff. And he's like, let's call Ron and Karen.
I didn't know if I wanted to do a last week show. I didn't know if I wanted to do one more Keith and the Girls show just before the break. But
right.
Yeah, it was goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, the other thing about him, too, is he's a pauser, by which I mean, like, when someone asks a question, he likes to take a beat before answering. But on a live podcast, that's just terrible dead air. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
but sometimes he's not even pausing for a genius thought. He's pausing, right, debating if he's going to talk about it, and then kind of shakes his head like, I don't want to go into track number 4 on my album.
Right. It's just like, it's the worst of both worlds. Because like, if someone's going to bullshit you, but they bullshit you like quickly on the air, it's kind of like, all right, well, we're keeping the flow going. But when it's like, so you lived in your car? I'm like, brother, you said you lived in your car.
Right. I didn't bring this up. You did.
And also, before the show, he's like, you know, if you don't, who are these people? If you don't know what the show is, shame on you, but at least shut the fuck up and don't act like you don't have a care to be here. He's before the show started, we told him, you know, it's live and blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, you know, first he says, oh, is it going to be video? Is there video? It's like, yeah, we're going to use this video. So he took his glasses off. And then we said something about being live, and he goes, it's live? It's like, yeah. He's like, and Keith, you're going to wear that? Cut off sleeves? What's the matter? The video's video. It doesn't matter if it's live or later that I'm choosing to wear sleeveless. So that threw him. Like, everything threw him. And he wasn't shy about it. He wasn't embarrassed about it. And that's always a move to me.
Well, there was some, you know, at first I was like, what the fuck? Like, and I don't think I mind being called nosy, except I was like, hey, I think I'm being used as a scapegoat here. Okay, but there was something about Liz's surprise, I feel like. If you look at it on YouTube, I feel like her face is like, wait, what? And I think his face is also shocked. I don't know. I think Keith is right. Something about it threw him off. And then he was like, wait, I can't do this. And then I'm thinking, like, something is wrong. Like, he doesn't want to talk about his marriage. He doesn't want to talk about where he lives. He doesn't want to, right, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, something's wrong. He's in his 40s. Like, that's not very comfortable. Like, in your 40s, you can at least zhuzh up your life enough to have a conversation to, like, right, avoid the stuff you don't want to talk about. And, like, but, like, have conversation to fill it with the stuff that you are comfortable, especially, right, after going through the catharsis of turning them into jokes, right, which, mm-hmm, I think,
again, all this came from a stand-up, all of it.
Yeah, but I think that sometimes we think that they had, like, gone through it in order to make these jokes funny. Like, you must have processed it because you have to go through, like, the sadness, right, of it first. I think he's been skipping sadness and it's getting dangerous. And I think what Liz usually sees is this chatty, chatty fucking chatterbox while they're driving for hours and hours, and she knows a lot about him and blah, blah, blah. She invited him over to Thanksgiving, not to just stare like he did on the show.
Right.
Something happened. Maybe I'm giving the benefit, yeah, of the doubt.
It's because he found out we do have accents. What the fuck was that also, okay, by the way?
Right.
What was that?
You told me, Liz, that they didn't have accents. A, what?
Right.
B, who doesn't? If I have one, who doesn't have one?
Right?
Everybody has one. I can tell you're from Pittsburgh or some shit. Right. Like, how?
Yeah.
What?
Well, once you hear, like, when I heard Keith's sister, I'm like, oh. And when you hear Keith's mom, both of them have, like, a Pennsylvania-y, Pittsburgh-y. It's not Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
it's not
Pittsburgh. Talk a little Andrew
Dice
Clay.
It's not Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mentioned that too. I'm like, I'm from the country, and I overdid Andrew Dice Clay jokes, and he's like, he's almost dismissing it, like, no, it's not that, it's Pittsburgh. Okay. And then when it came up on the actual show, I'm like, yeah, is there some, what, do you not like people with accents? And so that turned you off right away, so you couldn't answer anything. It makes no fucking sense. And Liz had a smile on her face the whole time, but it right away to me, I had to guess it was forced. And did it bother me a little bit when she said, yeah, they poke? Yeah, but I think it was just to make him feel more comfortable.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think she was trying to be like these assholes that I pretend to be friends with. I think,
right,
I think she's going like, hey, we're in this kind of space right now. So
it was like she brought him to like a double date and he was blowing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yes. Just
it's just bombing.
I felt so, like, honestly, I felt worse for her than anybody, because I was like, oh, fuck, this is like your friend. Your friend sucks. Yeah. And like, next time you come back without him, I mean, you gotta ask, like, what's up with your boy?
Yeah, what's up with you? What's up? What's happening here?
Oh shit.
Meanwhile, it's so this round, I sent a couple of people that we trust, like Liz Neely and I forget the list, but I was like, hey, if you want to introduce us to someone, bring them onto your episode. So you always have someone to blame. So she brought him. And then I know at the end of this, I'm like, oh my God, Carmen LaGalla booked her boyfriend / new podcast host.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just figured, holy shit. And it was my idea. Oh, fuck.
Right. You know, yes, this new plan, Neil and Liz happened to be the first tryouts.
Because in the old way, you know, someone suggests someone for a show or whatever, that person comes on by themselves. If they suck, you know, you have a conversation about it normally with that, like, mm-hmm. So what's up with your boy? But it's not as awkward because they weren't there. It's like,
right.
Oh, well, you know, he could be like that sometimes. I thought he was cool. I don't. Maybe he's different with y'all. No, I witnessed it. He was fucking tanking.
but you know, then he can finally get some balls when it comes to Israel and Hamas. Okay.
Yo.
Okay.
Yeah. Woo. I was like, what is happening? You'd rather talk about that than versus your personal. I want to hear about living out of your car. It was like, y'all was asking the questions that I wanted to hear. Like, you bring this stuff up.
Well, he would bring it up.
I mean, yeah, he brought it.
It's like, what about Israel Hamas? Oh, it reminds me, while I was living out of my car, I was going to kill myself. you know, it's wild out there. And then you're like, wait, you were going to kill yourself? Well, we say suicide. We don't say that anymore.
Right.
You're like, wait, what are we talking about here?
And apparently it means we don't say anything anymore literally now.
Open book.
I think apparently, like, maybe he's just one of those people, and we've had guests like this where they think they say something shocking and that's going to be the end of it. It's like, you know, if I had a gun by now, I wouldn't be here. Don't guess what that means. Don't look into it. But it's not a joke with that said. But right, don't
ask no
follow-up
questions.
Just know I'm edgy somehow.
Right.
Yeah, and I did it. Bother you, Keith, that Bucho was trying to make it your fault and saying on the forums, you came in like you drank a bunch of Four Loko.
It's so... Yes. You know, if somebody enjoyed a guest, I don't want to ruin their memory.
Right.
But when I see, like, he was slow at first, but really warmed up. When? Where?
I did not see it. You could feel the wall, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
You could just sense it and feel it versus when somebody's open. It's like a true openness. To where, let's go wherever this conversation goes, and you didn't feel like that was almost like a tug of war.
It's the podcast version of Keith's dad reading a newspaper and going,
"Yeah,"
oh. And then when you ask about it, being like, "No, nothing really. It's not.
Are you interested?
None of your business."
Because I'm not gonna. I don't have more. Actually, I just wanted attention.
It's like why me and my wife got divorced. Y'all get you. So what's it like going through divorce? Wouldn't you like to know?
Were Keith and Henda aggressive with today's questions? 20% of the audience said yes. What the fuck is going on? So then am I just aggressive every day and it's not necessarily offensive that day?
Some people could take it, you know?
Apparently they can. It didn't bother me. I didn't feel like anything was over the top. I didn't feel like anything was quote unquote outrageous or anything.
Well, the thing is, I didn't think like, I get it that I'm asking questions that maybe I wouldn't ask my mother's friend at a dinner party. I fully, fully understand that. I just thought I was in that kind of space.
Unless also, my mom's friend had an album about it, I might ask her that.
Yeah, I might ask questions.
Right,
you're doing
and
stand
I don't
up about it.
My confusion about how I or he was aggressive is I didn't have a chance to ask follow-up questions. My first question wasn't answered. To me, aggression is like, you can see this guy doesn't have anything, doesn't want to talk about it. I keep asking follow-up questions. I go, you're evading the question. How about this? How about that? I'm like, I don't think I was, I think I said, what was divorce? Do you think you know why she was fed up or whatever, however he phrased it? And he just went quiet. And I'm like, all right. I mean, honestly, that is what it's like talking to a dude usually, but like not on the show. I mean, normally guys don't know. They're just like, I don't know, man, shit falls apart. And it's like, all right, I'm not going to push that guy, you know,
but shit falls apart. Okay. Something like an answer versus just crickets. You go, you know, this is audio and video, right? You're looking at them like you do know people will see this afterwards.
But it is, you know, I ask this question with stand-ups that have couples a lot where do you run a heavy joke or a joke that a partner could feel is pointed? Do you run it by them first? And it's always funny, the dudes, and it happens to be dudes that go, no, why? Meanwhile, then there's no fucking follow-up question that will be answered. Like, you know, oh, I don't want to talk about my ex then. I don't want to get in trouble. Oh, okay. But the first part is, no, that's your livelihood, so fuck them. Interesting. Right. Weirdo.
Right.
Yes, very weird. Look like you would run that past a talk, you know, and have some form of a conversation prior to bringing it up on stage, because you bring it up on stage. For some people, particularly people that aren't in your field, might feel a certain way.
And if you don't, you don't. But then what are you scared of these other questions about?
Agreed. I think he might have spoken about it in public, because somewhere on Twitter, somebody said, I know you think, Neil, that you didn't do a good job, but I heard it and it was fine or something like that. So he must have said something.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's wild, man.
Well, it's funny. They probably ask him, like, well, what happened with Keith and the girl? He's like,
I think the point is that I have been doing the social media the last few weeks, and I really would like you all to see the screen caps that I've been choosing. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I would have to go back and
look. You know? Here's how I do it, okay? Do you know that I have to follow Keith's face? Like, I scrub it, and I'm like, this motherfucker will not show his goddamn teeth. There's no god. Oh, Keith is moving. Let's pause.
A lot of men don't show teeth. Why? I don't know. Men have beautiful smiles. They, I'm a mean mug this. You be like, aren't you happy about anything in life? That's because
no one's telling them to smile. We got to start that, Karen.
That's right.
Yes.
On the street. Yes. We got to be vigilant.
Are you talking to me?
Positive reinforcement. Cheese.
Yes, positive reinforcement. KATG episode 3748. Is Godzilla real? With Murph Meyer.
Was he an asshole?
No, he's
what's
great.
What's the opposite of asshole?
Angel?
Maybe it's Murph. Maybe that's what his name means. Was he Murph? He was Murph.
In the best ways, yes.
Yeah.
Lots of fun.
Yeah, the title comes from, I'm looking up, hey, this Godzilla TV show kind of sucks. Does the world agree with me? Autofills, is Godzilla real? Is the TV show Monarch World of Monsters based on a true story? What? And then you raise kids, and then you vote, then you go on social media making like, I can't see why everybody doesn't follow my point. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what, Keith? I am going to give you your flowers and kudos.
Thank you.
For you, because you have, I call it the same gene that Roger gets sometimes. The accomplishment gene.
No.
The
completionist
genes. Accomplishment genes. Completionist gene.
I was gonna say, I think we work with different people.
Completionist gene. Because when Roderick starts something, no matter how it goes or how he's like, I got to get to the end. I tap out. If me and Roderick is watching something I no longer want to watch, I just get up and go into the other room. And he's like, well, why'd you leave? I was like, because you're watching this. I don't want to poo poo on your parade. I'll go do something else. Like, I don't have to sit here with you if this is something that I don't want to consume. And so when you was like, I stopped, I was like, Bravo.
It's so bad.
You don't have to go to the end.
I stopped as well, Keith. It's good. So bad. It's
which
so
show? Bad. Which show? Which show? Because
Monarch Legacy of Monsters or something, I think is the name.
It's a Godzilla TV show with monsters like that.
And everybody has said it is bad.
It's a Godzilla TV show in the way that every show is a Godzilla TV show. By meaning, Godzilla is not even this fucking show. Like, when the fuck is Godzilla showing up?
Right. And yeah, now there's a new Godzilla, it's subtitled, but there's going to be a new Godzilla movie in theaters any second now. Okay. That's what you save the money for. The movie that's going to be 2 hours max. But these TV shows can't fucking afford these monsters. So no, you barely see them. There's family drama and I give a fuck.
I could care. I don't even know those characters. So when they're like, the Japanese doctor from the other one had a secret family because he was cheating on his wife. I'm like, What is this? This is us? No one hit play on this expecting this. Everyone hit play expecting monsters. You didn't put family drama in the title and then was like, oh, and at the end of episode one, like Godzilla shows up. Like that. Now that would be a twist. If the end of this is us, King Kong like crushed the building. Well, fuck it, I'm in. You got me. But you can't do it the opposite way.
You just can't. And I don't remember which one of the Godzilla movies came out, but it was one that came out years ago. And when we left,
I think it was just called Godzilla.
Roger was so pissed. Yeah. And people that are in Godzilla loved the movie. But I'm with Roger. We got like two Godzilla fucking walking in the background while the scene is changing. And Roger was like, what the fuck? This is Godzilla. When you push this in the commercial, you showed me big ass monsters fighting. You didn't show me this other bullshit. I paid $25 for this.
Such bullshit.
Is that the one with Matthew Broderick?
It's the one with the guy from Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay. That's
he's in it for like 20 minutes.
That's what this TV show is kind of based on. Yeah.
So bad. Fuck that. Fuck that entire fucking movie. They literally had a fight where the guy's like, let them fight. And it's Godzilla about to fight a monster. And I swear to God, it cuts to the next scene.
It does.
You don't see the fight. And like it's in the trailer, like they're going to fight. And then it's just like, but you don't need to see. You don't want to see that, right?
I think Roger audibly screamed at the screen.
Yeah.
I looked over and he was fuming. I was like, oh, you.
I have a friend that loves that movie and it'll always be a problem with us. Like, I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with you.
I liked Skull Island because that was all monsters all the time.
Yes, Skull Island, yes. Fuck shit up. Fuck big shit up.
Sam Jackson was in that. Mm-hmm.
The people, fuck the people up. It was
perfect.
Let's go.
It was an hour and a half.
Yes.
Everyone fucking gets killed.
Yes, they do.
The 5 minutes that monsters aren't in it is just humans being like, what the fuck are we going to do with these monsters?
Right, and then monsters. Yes, you know why I can't. Goddamn monsters. Let's go. They got another Godzilla movie, and people that seen that one say it's good, but I'm going to have to see.
Yeah, that's what Keith was talking about.
Right.
It's the Japanese one. It's like Godzilla minus one, year minus one or some shit.
It's called Minus One. It's a remake. And it's I would assume it's after World War II, and the country Japan's all fucked up already. And then it's like now you're even in the negative because now you got a fucking monster.
Yep, I'm in. I'm in for that because I can see in the trailer it's all monster.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we doing movie corner because This Is 50 is coming out soon?
Oh, really?
My contribution. Thank you.
They should have Godzilla in that. Right. If Paul Rudd's gonna refuse to make less than a 2-hour comedy, I think we should get Godzilla for 30 minutes.
Hey, Paul Rudd, who's so fit you were picked as an Avenger, can you not eat so many donuts? And then Godzilla comes in.
Yeah.
And they get me with the music. Dun, 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 dun.
The Godzilla theme is hard.
Yes, I love that beat. And I'm like, let's fight, let's go. I don't want no cutscene. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. Like I said, I'm proud of you. Also, I've realized in this episode, Brother Love's invites are a trick. Always say no, Keith. Just say no. Like, I'm just going to say that because Oz R, he ain't asked nobody. He just throwing invitations out there like black people throw white people invitations to the cookout. Hoping you come. Don't know if you're going to come or not. So no, you don't really mean it. Mm-mm,
yeah, I stay home and I just send you guys a box of raisins, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the right thing to do. We'll sprinkle on a potato salad.
Brother Love's like, you know you're invited here anytime. It's like, you, of all people, and that phrase.
Right.
Where are you going to go over Christmas? Does anybody know? Does anybody?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Ah. Oh, also, I don't know what kind of world this would be if Keith had a normal dad. We would not have Keith and the girl, because Keith said he compares everybody to his dad. And I was like, if Keith had a normal functioning relationship with like a mom and a dad and like everything functioned as normal, you'd be over working in that nursing home somewhere working a normal 9 to 5.
Powdering breasts.
Right, because you answered all the questions right. You, this right here would not be your life. No, it would just would not.
You're welcome, son.
The Squid Games reality show, I love that him to point out the exact wrong lessons were taken from the real show.
It was.
And I can't get past this. I can't even hit play. I can't.
Yeah.
I'll watch a season two of Squid Games before I watch the reality show, because it's just like, it's too antithetical to the fucking message, man. I just don't know how that's okay.
And you would think that they would somehow, and I saw the first 5 minutes or so, I don't know. You would think that they would innovate, you know, what they were raging against. They double down on the stupidity. It's like, this is every reality show. They didn't even have to do Red Light, Green Light.
Right.
They just could take clips from other stupid ass reality shows and goes, this is not a game to me. Okay. I have strategy. Okay. Like all that. I have an alliance. All right. My mommy. What?
Okay. Right. Honestly, if the only way they can save this is at the end of the season, they actually give every single person the full amount of the money.
Right.
And I would be like, oh, maybe you guys did learn something that it's not right to do this to people, but you still made them go through it.
I think the only way to save the show, if that's what we're talking about, is to actually kill people when those things.
Now, see, now, Hemda, that was my first idea.
I mean, I didn't want to say that,
you know?
I'm not saying, dude, I'm saying like some more people would watch.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they should do it, but at least if they did it that way, I'd be like, so you did understand the show.
Right.
You're just evil.
If it feels like anyway, you're just trying to ruin people's life to get a show and it doesn't matter. And this like, you just kill them.
Yeah. Now you're making us have to think about our own lives at home, and that's a good job. Like, you did a good job if I'm sitting at home like, fuck, I'm the problem, right? I watch people murder each other.
Right.
I'm not a problem.
Yeah, with that said, I'm caught up.
Ew.
How was the Marvels episode?
It was great.
Was it as good as the regular one?
The real one? That's on next week's last week.
Actors in a script?
they're so fucking dumb that there's more... it's like, I'm not going to play this game. Well, we have to decide on a game. Well, I'm not going to do it your way. And the timer's just ticking down. It's like, do you guys care to win or not? They'll lose in the dumbest fucking ways. Remember the cookie challenge? Four people have to decide on the shape. Circle, triangle, star, umbrella. Nobody wants the umbrella. It's the hardest one to pop out of that cookie.
Right.
So they have to decide, though, together, or they all lose. They all lose like at least three groups of people because no one will take the umbrella. How dumb must you be?
That's really dumb. That's actually dumb. That's like, they're probably fired now. They're like, oh, you just took too much time off. But it's like, no, you didn't take the umbrella. This is crazy.
You come back to work and you don't have a job.
I would fire you if I saw you do that on TV.
Yeah.
You can't babysit my kids, A. I don't trust you serving food, B.
Next thing you know, you're throwing burritos. Like, I don't, you're not.
And getting community service and shit. Keith, what was the poll?
If you didn't have to audition, would you be on Squid Game The Challenge? Mm-mm. I said, yeah.
I said, yes.
I could pop the shit out of that umbrella.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I want to be. I'm not saying that. Like, I'm going to campaign to be. I don't want to be asked to be. I don't want to be on it, even if I'm saying yes. But if you're telling me, just go play Red Light, Green Light, I'm going to try to keep my mouth shut. No, I don't have any strategies. No, yes, I am here to make friends. I don't, you know,
just gonna be talking to everybody.
I'm absolutely not doing it. And hearing the behind the scenes that they was out there for 7 hours, I wouldn't make it the first.
Well, once I found that, yeah. Once I realized it took an hour to like, find the first group.
I
don't want to
be famous that bad.
Yeah.
I have talent.
Right.
If I want to be famous, I'll try to be talented. Fuck that.
I don't want to be famous. But you're throwing me on a show where I'm playing red light, green light, and then licking a cookie. I think I could shut the fuck up for 9 hours and not squat.
But you do stuff like this for fun. You have no ligaments in your knee. You like taking long bike rides.
You don't care.
Sit on a bench and eat a sandwich.
Disqualified.
Yeah. They go, oh, here, you did it. You won $4.5 million. And kind of goes, oh, there's money?
Yeah.
Come on, that's not fun. A massive red light, green light where you have squibs going off. Come on.
She's disappointed. She's disappointed that there's not another challenge when they give her the money.
Right. Can we do one that's emotional?
This is the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have like a therapy challenge?
Am I allowed to cry? Is there going to be a crying session? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, ma'am.
They should have a crying.
Who cries first?
Yeah.
So 25% of the audience said yes, they would do it. Okay. 75% said no, thanks. But we appreciate the offer.
It's cool. That's fair.
Murph brought up the AI stuff and the actors. I feel like he's right. AI is even scarier for the actors.
Yes.
Because I feel like our visual technology is ahead of where the writing technology is right now. And like, you watch a Marvel movie and there's shit, you know, you're like, I think that person was real. But I think they could do some fucked up shit with these actors where they just scan your face one time and then you're in Star Wars 89 getting no checks.
Isn't that what Black Mirror was with, I want to say Selma Hayek? But
that's correct. That's correct.
That could have sounded racist.
Well, I mean, it was a little racist because it's African American Mirror, but, you know, it's fine.
But yeah, that whole Black Mirror was exactly that. She was in a show that she okayed only because she signed something a while ago before they had this big machine that put her in a show that she didn't agree to.
Yeah.
It's exactly that. That doesn't fucking weird you guys out that you're like,
yes,
this is going to happen. It's like, hello, yes, it is, 100%. It's already it's been
gonna
predicted.
This is so random, but also I was thinking about this. People that did porn in like the 60s, before all this technology, they probably were like, only people that ever see this physical film, I'll just move to another place. And now that's like forever on the internet. There's some motherfucker jacking off to you. That's insane to think about that happening in our lifetimes.
Not only that, like you could be that and your family will never find out. Also, you could have another family literally two blocks away.
Yep.
Different school district. Never know.
Yep. Those people I don't feel as bad for, but yes, that exactly. Technology has jumped for it.
Yeah, so a lot of people, particularly the cheetahs, got kind of angry, you know, about that technology. But it's right. A good thing that we do have this technology.
There's people with
cell phones.
There's people with secret families that hear is like Al Gore invents the internet. They're like,
yeah, you know what? And I know we all over the place, but you went from that to if somebody don't know how to turn off the Apple thing on their phone where everybody gets alert when the shit goes out or they don't know how to turn off their shit. Now you doing something you ain't got no business doing. You get a text, your wife get that same text, your significant other get that same text because you know how the family plan.
How cheaters gonna ever stay ahead of technology, man?
That's a great question. That's why they like, no, I don't want no phone. No, don't put me on the internet. No, I don't have no Facebook page. True. Like people that cheat hard, they're like, I will not be on the internet.
And we cover this at Cheaters Expo. That's the first speech.
Cheaters are us.
Cheaters Con. Come to Cheaters Con.
See, the thing is
we can't tell you where it's at because it's Cheaters Con. DM us for the play location.
We got a panel with Tiger Woods and
yeah, because we don't want nobody significant other showing up, starting to fight at the location.
Jada Pinkett Smith will be presenting her foot.
Yeah, so at Cheetah's Con, looking forward to that. You have anything else, baby?
No, I'm good. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, ATG episode 3749. Winks, if I'm pronouncing this right.
Of course you are.
with JP McDade and Sean Carter.
Perfect.
Were they assholes?
No.
JP had to leave early.
Yes.
What was that about?
What's that about?
Well, we knew that ahead of time. When I asked him if he happens to be, because it was one of the last minute things. We had a last minute dropout. And so I know JP is about to record his special. So I'm like, he's probably going to make himself as available as possible. But he's like, oh, I'm going to be at work. Can I come in for a half an hour? And I'm like, fuck. What does that mean? But I was like, it's JP. He's very reliable. But he did come in from work on his cell phone. But it did work out. But he's like, I think he came in on his lunch break in the lunch area to quickly, you know, just be on. So wow. I thought it worked out. And I think it's kind of fun to have somebody on for even part time. But I don't, is that weird or?
Mm-mm. No, yeah,
it,
I agree.
Yeah, it didn't bother me. Like no.
I think podcasts should be like rock and roll a little bit. I know this goes against, you know, the sensible.
Yeah, we've had guests like that before.
Got to get the quality and stuff. But I don't know. Sometimes I feel like on a podcast, you can roll with some shit that you wouldn't on a radio show, you know? And it's like, it works out sometimes. It's swing or a miss.
Yes.
I mean, what's worse? He has to be there for 30 minutes, maybe a little background noise or something. Or Neil comes on, he doesn't want to talk to you about his life, you know? Give me JP 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, because it could be all over the place. Like, we have in Living Color on, and the running joke with them is that their technology never works right. And
In Living Color, the rock group, yeah. not the comedy show.
Yes.
Okay, because I thought you'd be a little more specific. I'm like, I even know their names.
Yeah.
We could use right. names here.
Yeah, so the running joke with them is the technology don't never work right. They always crack and joke. And it's like every single time, and the audience just loves it.
And it never breaks down the same way. Who gives a fuck?
Nope. Just,
they love the show. It's weird that they do because they're famous. Rock
right.
Rock.
We're like, how do you even know we exist?
And fuck it. They want to come nerd out with us. But yeah, I thought it was cool that he was in for 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's a good thing. Oh, I personally think that Sean's wife tricked him into moving and having a baby. No matter what he says, that was part of the deal. He didn't know that was the plan.
He seems not to know, right?
Yeah.
He's the only one that didn't know. It's like
the way y'all pointed it out, though, was funny because I didn't know either. It wasn't y'all like, wait, and then what happened?
I mean, I just thought it was funny because, like, yes, things are closed, but since things have, like, things opened, like parks, and they understood that people were getting trailers and kind of being isolating themselves while crossing country. So I'm like, well, how long did you have to stay put in an RV during the pandemic? Like, the RV seemed to be the ultimate fuck you to the pandemic.
Right.
You know? So I was like, what kind of math is this?
I was a little nervous at first. I was having Neil residue. And, you know, and so we just drove down here, you know. Okay. And in an RV, but we sold it, you know. I stayed with the family, her parents, you know, that's normal. Yeah, bought a comedy club since I was down here anyway, you know. So I got a little scared at first.
Yeah. Also, like, you like to take chances, my friend. You said, I put it in quotes, your adopted child, a rescue?
Like, is it talking? That's right.
Child a pup?
Oh God!
I was at home, like, cooking, and just like I had to pause for a second. Like, is this motherfucker going to cut the show off, or is he going to roll? Is the guy going to roll with it? Is he going to understand it's a joke?
People that get rescues love to brag about it too. You know,
I know, but they don't call their children that. I've never heard it that way, you know? It's a reason.
Probably. I forgot about that. How did I forget about that?
Oh, my God.
That?
My head got hot.
Oh, my
hot.
God. My head exploded.
Because, you know, we don't know Sean. Sean don't know y'all. You know, he could have totally took that shit like, oh, man, fuck y'all, man. What kind of show is this, JP?
I would have said it was AI.
you ask a fucked up question, but then you freeze.
Right.
You just don't move. And then slowly click yourself off screen.
Right. And then come back. What I miss?
Yeah.
you come back. You're like, oh, like I was saying, your adopted child, a rescue attempt for the hostages in Israel? That's some breaking news that came. What did you thought I said?
Yes, this is really going on. Keith said he does not like this, but I love reviews on porn and sex. Them shits is the funniest thing in the world for me.
Sure.
I forgot it was a dude we used to follow on the site, and he would like review like black porns, and he was adamant.
No, it was okay. We didn't follow him on a site.
No, no.
I was in college.
Ah, okay.
My roommate John, we found this. There was a website called Black Girl Online. So yeah. It was basically just like black porn stuff. It was a place to go. But it had a forums and like a community. And people would be on there talking and stuff. And I'm not talking. I'm just there to I'm like, Keith, like, can you ask who the girl is in the film? And then I'll just copy your answer and go look for the tape.
You do the work.
I don't want to be that weirdo.
Are they just practicing typing with one hand? Like,
I'm assuming, you know, they are, as their refractory period is coming around, you know, they're getting to know each other or something. I don't know. But there was
Pillow talk.
Yeah, there was a link to a video, and there was a guy who reviewed videos. And he, I want to say his name was Woodburn or something, but I'm not 100% sure. And he would just, he would describe the scenes in great detail and then score them from like 0 to 5 nut rags, as he called them.
Sure.
And, and he would highlight where he orgasmed in the video as if that's a, as if it's like a pee time, you know what I'm saying? And run pee, like we're all going to come at this point, obviously.
All right, I think I'm allergic to nuts.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
I think my video just froze.
Yep.
Did we lose him? So I've always thought it was the funniest thing in the world to me to read the reviews, particularly with porn and sex toys, particularly with like dildos and things like that, because the reviews be all over the place and they be the funniest shit. I don't know why. It just makes me giggle.
Because they take it so serious. They take it so serious.
But I kind of like, I need them to. I need them to take it that serious, but I do want to mock them for taking it so serious. But
take it that serious.
If I'm reading it, I'd like to know the things they're saying.
Sure, I'd like to know. And at the same time, if it's my partner doing it, we're done.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I would like to, yeah, exactly. I would like to know, but I would like to judge you for knowing.
Yes.
I would like to know this dildo only gets 30 minutes on the charge and it's not worth it because they said it was going to be 3 hours long. Let me know this. You know, that's valuable information, but they only know because they used it and went through the process. So.
And then got on a computer and typed that.
Yes, then got on a computer was like, I am dissatisfied.
They didn't just throw it in the trash. They were like, no, the world needs to know. Someone has to have integrity at adamandeve.com.
Yeah.
And it's me.
It's all the reviews to me. Like it's, you know, it's Rotten Tomatoes, and you're the 56th person to say you didn't care for the new Ms. Marvel movie. Like, it's already been said. You're not changing the score at this point. What are you doing, weirdo?
But what about you? You review movies that are fresh out and stuff on the podcast sometimes.
Mine's art. And like when I'm seeing Squid Game, it's so that I know it's going to be funny on the show. It's not a serious review. I really got to get the word out.
Gotcha.
Okay. That I can see that makes a big difference. And this is something that me and Roger talked about, Keith, when you was talking about crowd work and a lot of comedians getting famous from their crowd work and how it can confuse the audience. I actually really love comedy. So I go in a lot of times going, put it like this. I don't mind crowd work, but when it comes to crowd work, you need to be really, really good at it and don't let it be the bulk of your set. Like for me personally. Like, I didn't come for your crowd work. I don't give a fuck about these people here. I paid, not to be funny. I came here for the jokes,
right.
You know. But for some people, like, that's their thing where they, you know, go into the crowd, which is fine. But it needs to be a balance there. And I do think it's a catch-22 because you get some of these people who aren't, who haven't done the craft long enough and they get famous from that. And you go, oh, you got famous from this. But when it comes to your stand-up itself, that's the part you hadn't worked on.
Right.
And I could tell when it's a special because comedians, when it's a special, This is like their best work. They like, I have combed this. This is my shit. This is the special. This is what you come for. And so I think that for a lot of the people who aren't really into comedy, of like, oh, it's just something to do, blah, 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 blah. I could see those people getting confused and thinking that that's what comedy is, and it's not.
Well, I also see, I see this in clubs where the comic starts talking to the audience and is confused when the audience doesn't shut the fuck up. And, you know, you didn't care where they were from. Just right. Say where you're from. That's the whole point. Right. And I don't like that. I feel like comics are trying to gaslight me when they'll be like, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a doctor. Oh, okay. And person next to you, what do you do? Oh, I'm a janitor. Oh, where are you a janitor at? Oh, the same hospital. And then the comic like laughs, like looking around like, did we land on something, guys? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What? Why didn't you go to school for it? What? Are you kidding me? That's crazy.
I don't mind the crowd work that's actually part of a bit. I like
right.
I like that when it's cause it's like a good magician or something where right. like they're like, you pick a card and you're like, fuck, you did that. Like that's so like you knew he'd say a job.
Because it had to be
but you like fucking you like figured out a way to work any job into something funny. That's fucking amazing.
Right.
Yes.
But I don't think we should blame crowd work. I don't think crowd work is just asking the audience and feeding off of their answer. I think crowd work is working the crowd into them responding exactly how you wanted them to, even when it's a surprise to you. So that doesn't end at where are you from and now you shut up. That ends when your show ends. It means if you are such a good comic that you're going into the audience, you also know how to keep them quiet while you're doing your actual thing. It's not crowd work just because you're talking to the crowd. It's crowd work because you're working them and that's your actual set. So yeah. I think when we're annoyed by crowd work, it's that we're annoyed by the lack of professionalism that right. is the show. But you can have a professional show. It's just, I think what we're seeing is very few and far between can do improv shows and very few and far between enjoy improv shows when they're going to stand up.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I just would have went to an improv show. This all these correct. Things are different things. Like yep. we can't compare because what we're comparing is a bad this thing to a good this thing. A bad professional who's not doing their job to a good professional who's doing their job. And they're both calling it crowd work, but it's not.
We saw Chris Hardwick in person and he does like 40 minutes of literal out in the crowd. Well, like not on stage anymore. And yeah, it is a skill set because it's a certain type of like energy of like, I'm making everyone be quiet when they need to be quiet, laugh yeah. when they laugh. It's like a conductor.
Yeah. And the audience was expecting that. Like it's different. If the audience is expecting that, then the audience is not expecting that too.
I saw an audience member was mad at the crowd work or being called out, threw a beer at the comic. And now they have to work the club every weekend for 1 month.
and it's not serving beer. They have to do stand-up.
They have to do stand-up, yeah.
It's even worse.
Yeah.
But their stand-up is prop comedy, and all they do is throw beer at people. Because it turns out that is what they thought happens there.
And now they have a Netflix special. It's coming out next week. I saw.
It went viral through Minimum Rage.
Yeah.
You need a new name for comedians because we get paid less than Minimum Rage.
It's called Drink Tickets Rage.
You have anything else, Rod?
We're on Wanks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you think about when we talked about Young Thug's rap lyrics being admissible in court? What do you guys think?
I'm down with that shit. And I don't
I am too.
I guess I'm a bad black person or whatever the fuck, but I'm just
call
like,
call me a coon.
Why the fuck are you rapping about the fucking crime, man? Right? What the fuck is wrong with you?
That does not make sense.
And I can see if we were saying, listen, they took him to jail only, and the only evidence is his rap album.
Now I could see,
because then I would be like, "Yeah, that's fucked up." Because you would never do that to any other genre of music or movie or whatever.
Correct.
But if like you shot a motherfucker at 3 p.m. on December 1st,
and you rap
and then
about
you
it,
rapped in your verse, I shot a motherfucker. I'm like, well, shit. I mean, it's part of it. I can't tell you part of it.
I totally get what you're saying. I disagree in that this becomes a precedent. If you already have all that other evidence and then he sang about that, all you're doing is turning his case into everybody's case. There's a precedent in a courtroom that is so fucking serious that I'm so sorry that I'm getting serious, but mm-hmm. like if he did it, if it's so fucking like blaring at you. It's if it's alarm sounding, then keep the rap shit out, because all they're doing is trying to trap everybody else with this court case here. Sorry.
And I think my pushback to that is it's too much rap out there and they don't charge everybody. Like that's the only reason why I push back. It's so much rap and most people rap about shit that they don't do and have never done. And they're not rapping about crimes. They're not. But if I am doing my police job and there's only evidence that only I know, and you turn around and you're rapping about the evidence that only somebody that committed the crime would know, I think that's permissible evidence, because why are you putting it on wax? Like, that's the part that don't make sense to me. Why are you rapping about it then?
The thing for me, though, is like, I might be wrong. I just don't care. It's so fucking stupid. It's so dumb. I can't believe y'all got caught doing crimes, and then the fucking evidence is on the song. That's just, I don't know. It just seems so fucking stupid. But I think him just writing that, all the right people are on the other side of this. Mm-hmm. All the activists, I respect everybody. I don't know, man. It's so fucking dumb. And I think
he's dumb, but I agree with you that he's dumb. He's dumb. Yeah. Let him be dumb and not represent all the rest of the lyrics that lyricists wrote. That, like, you know, also hip hop is only 50 years old. You're going to ruin it with this idiot. That's not fair.
I guess
rap lyrics are not a confession, no matter how true to life you think it is.
Well, I don't think that I don't think it's just a confession, right? Mm-hmm. It's corroborating evidence is how they're treating it. A confession would be like, we heard your rap song. You're under arrest. They're saying we caught you stealing shit out of people's houses. Also, you rap about stealing shit out of people's houses. I think it's a difference. Leave that out.
This is not an email that he was emailing people to corroborate. This was lyrics in a song. And I get it. It's your autobiography, blah, blah, blah. But like, I don't know. No one else goes to jail for their art, even if it matches this other bullshit. So I think just bringing it up is so dangerous. Even like that it's in the atmosphere that it is because of his rap lyrics. Even just that is a bad idea. It's just bad. Yeah, I get why you wouldn't care, but.
You're saying go to jail because of the rap. They're not going to jail because of rap lyrics.
It doesn't matter. Don't even put the lyrics in there.
But they're hoping. Don't do that. They're trying to convince the jury one way or another. If it was very clear, they wouldn't need the lyrics. They have the lyrics as a bonus. And there is enough racism as it is. You have tattoos all over your face is going to fucking confuse some people. There's nothing you could do about that. But yeah, the lyrics, I could say, I did vote no after all. The lyrics is trying to add to it.
Yeah, I just don't care.
Larry. 50-50 was the audience. Should his specifically Young Thug's rap lyrics be admissible in court? 50-50.
So next time,
see, all that is it's admissible in court. That's all someone else needs to take away from it, where someone else's lawyer goes, hey, this was permitted. Now this needs to be permitted. That's how our law works in this country. That's why those things are dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I do agree, but at the same time, similar to Roger, I was like, why? I guess my thing is, why are you that stupid?
It's just so funny.
How many criminals are stupid? They get caught red-handed.
On January 6th, you run up in the Capitol, you hop on Truth Social. If you put a beat under that, you can be like, nah, you can't use that. Like, yeah, I beat up a cop, but I was rapping. Fuck that shit. I don't like
jail.
The gunshots are real in the song because it's a song.
Feels a little.
No, because his rap song is not him caught on video and then he put.
If you're a murderer, listen to this.
It's not a documentary.
If you're a murderer,
rap about
your
crime.
If you're a murderer and you're listening to this, start rapping. That's what I'm hearing. I kill a bunch of fucking people and be like, I did that shit. I definitely killed him. Here's everywhere I did it.
His address, telephone.
Not admissible in court, and you can't use that no matter that it's the number one hit.
I know somebody that personally is so opposed to rap, and I don't mean murder stuff. It just when you can hear the beat and you can tell it's rap, that it's got to be turned off like right away, to the point where it's starting to seem racist. In fact,
yeah,
this person is close to me and didn't even hear Chris Turner's rap because he understood it was rap. then it's the computer glitch. I'm like, oh, we'll check it out after. Like, it's wrap. I don't need to. Thank God it glitched because now it's an excuse to stop. And I'm like, okay,
I know
so
Craig
I could,
was such an asshole.
So you don't know who was
Craig.
So you know, so I could see playing rap lyrics in a core room, and this person going like, yeah, I don't like rap. I don't trust him.
Mm-hmm. But nah, I think y'all are right though.
I do too. Yeah, I do.
You asked me if I cared.
Yeah, I understand this racism behind it. I understand it's fucked up. I do understand that they don't do this with any other form of music. Like I completely understand that part. Just stupidity.
Right.
It is stupid. Can we at least laugh at how stupid
it is? Of course. Yeah, of course. Okay. And yeah, he's not going to be the only man in jail that got there on his own stupidity. So, you know, like let's do how much percent got you here on your own fucking stupidity, because you didn't. I mean, we have a Google machine. Google your crime, but not on yours. I mean, like it's like, you know, how many action movies do you have to watch in
the
order
interesting
to like,
part to me is the precedent it sets if they lose the case. Because if they had the rap lyrics, which they've been allowed in the evidence, and they fucking lose this shit, I think that says another precedent of like, yeah, don't fuck around and use hip hop in the fucking courtroom because y'all lost doing that shit. You thought that was enough to make a case. So if they're using the rap lyrics because they don't have a case, and then I think that'll be amazing. Because I, at least from what I've seen online, people have been mocking the prosecution and being like, they are the ones who look bad with these rap lyric things.
But that's so sad, because if he really committed a crime and like so dumb, and the prosecution is fucking it up so hard, that's like even next level racism.
Yeah.
Yes, because you're hating so much, it's clouding your vision of how to do it right. Because you think this guy is just going to go to jail just based on like the little stuff that you're doing. And when that blows up in your face, you'll be like, but look at him.
And it's scary.
And then your true colors will come out, because you really just wanted us to go like, yeah.
It's even more scary because Fannie Willis is one of the people that's doing the Trump RICO track case. And I'm like, your department is fucking around with this rap lyric shit and people are laughing at it. You can't put the president on trial and be like, well, we hope we'll get it right. You got to fucking nail that shit airtight. So, yeah.
How about get Trump's lyrics?
Yes.
I could stand in the middle of Midtown and I could shoot a motherfucker. No one would try me for that.
Lil Wayne would be on that. Yeah, he loves Trump.
Grab him by the pussy. He got all the hits. Yeah, like, all his top 100s.
Grab him by
the
pussy.
You know who they're bringing here. It's not their real people. It's their rapists. It's their thieves. Let's put a wall up. These people are gross. They're browner than brownish. It's really wrong.
Yeah, followed by the hit band of Muslims. Yeah.
Now it's Jews. From the Muslims to the Jews. Here we go. Muslim to Jews. Here we go. It's Muslim to Jews. Who do we hate today? Who do we hate today?
I'm curious the last time Hemda heard rap.
It's been a while. There's a lot of singing in the new rap,
it's,
you know?
It's been a while. It will be a bop. I will play it.
I don't claim to rap.
I'm terrible at it.
I do the hooks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's doing this R&B slash rap.
Yes, that's the way it's
Trump would do the verse, you know?
It is funny during that episode. I'm like, you know what I do like, though, when I find out, you know, rap lyrics are real, the way I like to know all comedian stories are real. Yeah. Meanwhile, just before that, I was talking to Sean Carter. I'm like, is this true? No. Is this true? No. This track, is this true? No.
See? And he did lose a point for that.
He did.
You know? Also, like, for a rapper, I mean, the only thing better than committing a crime for your rap street rap is getting away with it.
Yeah.
So, like, Young Thug might see a big boost off of this. He found a way to get away with this shit. I mean, he's going to get that Snoop Dogg after Murder Was the Case. Like,
I don't know. Don't you think he would do better if he spent some time in jail? Because that's, like, more thug life.
He has.
The lawyer would make a killing. He would have nut but black clients for the next.
Well, it's not just that. It's that rap is moving too fast. You can't, like, be in jail for 5 years and come back. It's, like, you got to fucking strike while the iron's hot and shit.
Oh, right. It's murder. I forgot. It's like years. So I thought like, 6 months, he comes out with an album and he comes out. Like, that's kind of cool.
I don't know. Now they're rapping in jail, so you never know.
Yeah, but nobody's buying that shit. Like, like when Tupac went to jail and he was like back out so fast and on death row, like that was a boost because you can like you capitalize on a pandemonium, but motherfucking you catch a RICO case, like I'm not sticking around 20 years. You're gonna be old though by the time you get out. Fuck, you should be rapping about some good shit in your life by the time you get out,
right? Like
rap about your grandkids and fucking Werther's Originals and shit, like
right. And like I said, Hemda, you are absolutely 100% right, you know, but I'm like
I know y'all right. I'm not even arguing, like it's just it's so dumb. My brain won't let me process it all the way out to like it's y'all know how it is. I know everybody's gone through this before.
Makes sense. Also, you're I think mostly being entertaining, like fuck that, I don't care, like
yeah.
And also yeah, how much can you care after this? Yeah. You're not gonna go petition for one way or another, you're gonna yeah. go about your life. So and no, not, I guess we I all don't also, care.
I think also it would help if I didn't think he did it. That would also help, like because I'd be like, well, he's innocent, they try and use his fucking rap lyrics, fuck these people. But that's the next guy, like the first guy right. the yeah. first guy's like the first guy, I'm like, you did it and you rapped about it, man. What the fuck were you thinking? The next guy, I'm like, he didn't even do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I'm going to be on the opposite side. I know I'm flip-flopping, you know, I know that that kind of go along with it, you know. But you said, I understand what I said. But this case is different. Mm-hmm. But y'all going to be the consistent ones and I'm not. KATG, episode 3750, New Relationship Smell with Common Legala. And Corey Tyndall, or Tyndale?
Tyndall. How'd you land on right. both wrong ways? Interesting.
How many ways can there be?
Are you kidding? Keith always has to remind me how Carmen's last name is. Like, before every time she comes on, he goes, now remember, it's Legala. Not like fancy, like you like to say, because I'm like, Carmen Legala. Mm. And I'm like, is there really a difference? Yes, Hemda. Yes, there is.
Were they assholes?
No, mm-mm. they were sweet. Mm-mm.
Such a sweet couple, such a sweet guy. And I thought about it. I'm like, where did she find like the nicest guy in comedy? I didn't even know like these kinds of guys existed. Who was her ex? Sam Evans, the nicest guy in comedy. Unless like, you know, Josh Gondelman is already married. You know, like, I don't know.
She might got the nice guy connect, you know?
I think there's something about it.
Somebody yeah. need to ask her for her Rolodex, girl. See what her exes is up to.
Do you think that one day she's going to wake up and go, holy shit, I look like Hillary Swank, but hotter.
Like, and then she's going to leave him and go get a mean guy?
No. I just like sometimes she tells jokes like she's the ugly friend. And I'm like, you're glowing. And I don't
feel
think
like all comedians do that.
Right? Yeah, but like, she doesn't get to. It's confusing.
Right, okay, I see what you're saying.
It's very confusing.
Because I always, like, I watched The Old Man in the Pool, the Mike Birbiglia one-man right. show. And it's like, just talking about how unhealthy he is. And I'm just like, come on, Mike.
Right.
Like, Mike, come on. Look in the audience. You can't be a fat piece of shit. There's fat pieces of shit here. What are you doing?
Right.
You're appropriating right now, my dude.
I remember when Christian Finnegan lost a lot of weight and he would be on late night talk shows still doing jokes like he's fat. And I'm just watching yeah. like, what?
Right. I'm that's like, you're losing this.
Yeah.
No. You don't know the struggle. He's like, I do. Nah, I don't think you know the struggle, man.
Not like this second, but.
Yeah. So he got to have a t-shirt on with his old pictures, before pictures like this.
He got to bring it out and stretch.
Okay. I haven't had time to make new material.
So this is what we're working with until I get that chance.
You ever be going up the stairs? And
his pants are like Jared from Subway's yeah. pants hanging behind yeah. him.
He comes out like the biggest loser. You see a picture before that he like busts through it. Ta-da! I'm like, sir, what's happening here?
You'll understand in a second. I got to do some old material.
Before and after. Now let me go into my fat joke. Like, sir. This episode, you guys talked about Matt Rife.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see the special, but Roderick did.
The whole thing,
yeah.
Because I didn't want to be tricked and be like, I turned it off after 5 minutes, and everybody's like, well, that's because you didn't watch the whole thing.
Yeah, he turned. He did one lazy joke first, then the rest was brilliant. Or it wraps back around, and his mom actually was punched in the face.
Right. Oh, so bad.
So bad.
I have waited until the end, just going like, this has to, it can't be this because this is the worst. So it has to trick me. Like all of this horrendous stuff cannot be what I'm looking at. I'm being tricked, and I can't wait until it's like, and it's like, you got me. Yeah. I thought this was complete bullshit and that nobody bothered writing, but I didn't see this particular one, but I am a little scared to see stand-up on TV a lot of times, because when you're out in the wild, you're like, all right, you're trying things, this landed, that landed, whatever.
Yeah.
But I am scared to see full things, because I'm like, these are your collected thoughts. Right. These are the thoughts that you said. Keep this one.
And Matt's Matt's one of those people that likes to brag about how long he did stand up, and that you should take him seriously. Yeah. And it's like, not with what I'm seeing. Don't say that.
I don't understand why his special isn't 25 minutes of crowd work.
Right. Because
literally why you got the special, and it's like he was trying to prove. It's like if you sports analogy coming, Hamden. Sorry, but it's like when an NBA
follow the ball.
They know a guy can't shoot, and then they leave the guy open for three the whole game.
Right.
The guy doesn't stop shooting, and he just makes his team lose because he missed all the open shots because he's not supposed to shoot those. That's how this special felt, where it's like, no, do the thing that the people know you do, and he's like, nah, and he ends the special by like slamming the mic down, like. And you thought I could just do crowd work. Oh, boom. It was like, you should have done crowd work.
we drop our headphones in the audience. Fuck you. he tells some story that, and I didn't really know him, but I did see some crowd work stuff online. And I remember laughing.
Right, on TikTok.
I thought it was funny.
When I put it all together. And he tells a story about how he was canceled. Meanwhile, I'm watching you on a show right now, but okay. He was canceled because he didn't want to move his bag on an airport from under the seat.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? Maybe you did get some heat because you said, what's the big deal? And people are just saying, we all have to follow the rules or we're going to be animals. But honest to God, what story is this? Who gives a fuck? You didn't want to move your bag, but a fat person is sitting next to you and they're allowed to live and not your bag? This is so stupid, and who gives a shit?
Yeah. I think, you know, his fan base, because they say his crowd work is a lot more like, I won't say like liberal, but like, it's not mean. His crowd work is a lot, it's not mean to people, supposedly.
I see, right.
But his stand-up near the end especially got super fucking mean. And kind of weirdly racist in a way, because like he has a weird black scent, but then he has a joke about if a monster's out there, it's me and 12 black dudes in here. I was like, don't be using our slang and also using us as like the boogeyman, motherfucker. Either you kick it with us or you don't. The end joke is just him being mean to like a fat person on the internet. And I'm like, you look how you look. The power structure of this joke. I guess the bullies will like it, but most people in the audience are going to be like, this is just way meaner than what you do online.
Right. Mm. And his big chunk, too, I think it's more in the beginning, I forget, but about women and crystals and astrology. And it's so lazy and dumb, and it's everything you could already have heard of. But then he goes into believing in ghosts. And I'm like,
right.
Do you hear you?
That's the other thing, too. Like, I wasn't offended. Like, I know there are people that are offended just because they feel like his sensibilities are.
It's just lazy.
Thought the jokes are just bad. Yeah, I was like, oh, these are bad jokes. Oh, no, you didn't have any material.
How old is he? Because it sounds like these are jokes that we were listening to before he was born. He probably thinks he invented it because he hasn't been listening to stand-up.
Right. He's 28. So,
he
says what I think a 28-year-old dude thinks is funny. And then Keith, I don't know if you saw this. In the 80s,
28-year-olds now are like, they have woken up a little bit.
Right.
More than this 80s nonsense that I'm listening to. I didn't hear this guy, but everything that you're saying is some joke that like my father would have told, and then maybe it turns
you're
out
right.
he was serious.
I was thinking of my 28-year-olds, but you're right. These 28-year-olds tend to
did
be
did he
bit
tell Polish better. Jokes and how they tied their shoes?
He's like, here's the light bulb. How many people do you think is going to take to screw this in? but yeah, I don't know if you saw this, Keith, but he went on Jordan Peterson's podcast and did an episode about canceled comedy. Like right after the special,
somebody showed me a clip, and it's, of course it'd be Jordan Peterson, you fucking weirdo.
Was he co-signing the kid?
Yeah, enough with what I saw. Yeah, sure, you took him. It makes me wonder. A video with him. Yes, you co-signed.
It makes me wonder if that was the intended off-ramp of this whole thing, because like it's so lazy, but it's also like a pretty lucrative lane of comedy. That's like you don't have to be that talented or funny if you're just saying that you don't like that people are getting upset by your comedy. Right. And there's a lot of comedians that, you know, some of my favorite comedians are kind of falling into that, like, fuck it, man, I don't have any new ideas, but I do have these old jokes about, you know, trans people or gay people, and people get mad, and then I go, oh, look at you getting mad. I'm standing for freedom of speech or something. And I wonder if he at 28 cynically is making that choice, because I don't, That seems like something he would not have done before this special.
That doesn't sound like choice. That sounds like he's pretty and people nod their head a lot at him.
Mm. Yeah. True.
That's what it sounds like. I don't really know who you're talking about or what he looks like, but like in the descriptions that I've been listening to, it sounds like it's pretty girl syndrome.
That was my joke, was like, is this funnier if I want to fuck him? This shit ain't funny.
Right. Maybe.
I could see that.
But you know, we're talking from bigger cities. I think there are people who enjoy those jokes. Those same people that will, you know, maybe call me Hebrew, not knowing that, like, oh, you know, or like, oh, you speak Israeli, which is like, hey, you're not supposed to know everything. But like, you might still be in the 80s where people are still figuring it out, where Google doesn't exist in your hand. So I don't know how a 28-year-old landed on that, but there is the entire middle end
of
our country.
I think it's lucrative.
Lucrative. I think most Americans think still.
Right.
I don't know what we're talking about, that trans is just free to go and gay people are just accepted everywhere. I don't know who we're talking about. America is not like that. More than 50%, if we have 50% of that being, I think we're like maybe at 20% just going like, cool, maybe.
Yeah. So I think cynically looking at the crowd work stuff he did and then looking at that special and then him going on that podcast, I feel like he just hopped on the offer up, man. He's like, fuck it. This is easier money than trying to turn my stand up into something that matches my crowd work shit. I'd rather just do this shit.
You may have seen this little clip of Anthony Jeselnik that I liked, where he's on an interview, and it really sounds like he's talking about Matt Rife. But in general, he's talking about these comedians that say something edgy and then complain that they're getting canceled. And he brings up an Andy Warhol quote, like, art is that you're getting away with it. You made everybody fucking happy in the audience, but you said something edgy. Whereas a Matt Rife is trying to rile you up, then you got riled up and you're mad, and then it's like, whoa, what happened? Well, where's the fucking art there?
Yes.
Oh, that is a yes. That's the whole statement. Say it again. Art is
getting away with it. Yeah. So you're saying say the edgy thing. Let me laugh. Maybe I think about it later. But no, you're just trying to poke me, and then, whoa, what did I do? You know exactly
that's
what you did.
That's not art. That's a bully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how he looked in his special. That was whack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see people getting upset and turning and things like that. Because guarantee you, for people that follow his TikTok and all that stuff, hit play on this, was like, this is not what I see on TikTok. Yeah. What the hell is this?
Here's, like I said, cynical, but the catch-22, those people that enjoy shit on TikTok and Twitter don't go to the comedy club.
That's true, too.
So, like, as a comedian, going viral has a certain amount of cachet, but if you want to, like, tour, you got to appeal to the people that go to the club. And I mean, Dave Chappelle just went on like a fucking, he went to like Spectrum Center in Charlotte or something like not too long ago. That's a lot of people going to see him in 2023. And I guarantee you part of that's just, he be talking about them trans people. And I'm going to go see it. Like it's they'll go to the club at least. And TikTok people just share it.
Yeah.
That's true too. And to an extent, I feel kind of bad for a lot of comedians because it's like it's a catch 22 because you have to get them TikTok people, even if they don't bring their asses out there, because now when you present yourself, the very first thing is how many followers, how many it is, how many that, how many it is. And if you don't reach whatever the plateau is, you get ignored. Even if you're very good at the craft and probably might be better than this than Matt Rife, you won't get a second glance at.
They get in the gym. Okay. Everybody wants to fuck him. So he's got everything.
In the gym.
You got to work out, bro. It's the only way.
And if you got $18,000 worth of face work done, don't be picking on an overweight person as a joke.
Right. It's not even
had his cheeks hollowed out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, look at a before and after pic.
Matt Wright?
Rife.
Rife. R-I-F-E. Yeah.
He's only 28.
Mm-hmm. You can see what he looks like on our website too, but before and after is funny.
Oh.
And oh.
Okay.
And like that, like that's a big difference, huh?
I have seen this guy in my short reels, and I'm like, no, I think you're new, but I guess you wasn't.
That's what I thought too, yeah.
I don't know if you noticed this too, Keith, but I didn't like that his black accent got more pronounced when he got angry.
Right.
Like in the beginning, he wasn't doing as much, but by the end, he's like, but nah, see, I'm standing, you're not going to just do that to me. I'm like, what the fuck is happening, Matt?
I'll use my words and I'll win every time.
Right, bitch.
And you know what? His face looked like an anime.
Yeah.
You know how we
look like handsome Squidward, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just over-exaggerated everything.
Yeah.
He looks like a New Kids on the Block.
Yes.
Joey McIntyre or something.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm getting in it. Why do I know his name? What the fuck?
You know why.
Why does 12-year-old me go like, hold on to that, and then no new shit?
Tough. That's when you used to be hanging tough.
Murder on Fourth.
Something in him to butt up. I realized this the older I get. When you was talking about how, talking about your parents, it's amazing how some parents only remember you as a kid and they don't remember you past a certain point in time. Like, and you've grown and you've evolved and you become another person, but in their mind, you're captured in that particular moment.
Oh, my dad still thinks I shit my diapers. Yeah, to this day.
My mother fucking wishes I was 10 or younger. I was so freaking agreeable.
Yes.
Of course, mother.
And
yes, that's my bat mitzvah dress. Of course I will do my hair like this. Sure, French braid my hair since I'm going to a fancy thing. Why let my hair flow? Oh, because you don't know how. Oh, this is fantastic.
Right. And I do think, but it's amazing how kids have to know parents how to survive. Like, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but these people are taking care of you. And they have personality, so you have to learn your parents. You don't have an option. Like, if you want to survive in the household, you have to know the quirks in your parents' personality, what makes them tick, what makes them angry, what makes them sad. Like, as a child, you're obligated to know this, but a parent is not obligated to do it in reverse. And this is why they keep us captured in this space. And
oh,
it's hard for them.
I don't know if you know this, Karen, but that is supposed to be in reverse.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's amazing. But for a lot of people, that's the dynamic. Like, that's the true dynamic, because sometimes I go through that. I love my mom and my aunt who raised me. But periodically I go, oh, you don't know me. I know you, but you don't know me. And I've come to accept that you will never know me because you don't think it's important enough to know me.
It might be scary for her to know anybody. That's how I see it. It's like, it's just, she knows what she knows. If you add any more information, she might have to tackle some shit that she's just not gonna.
Right. And also the thing is there, because once you become a full grown adult, for some parents, it's hard to let that go, you know, because it's been times where me and her will bump heads because I have to tell her, hey, I'm grown. I pay my own bills. And this is what you're not going to do. You know, and she don't know how to handle me being very aggressive with my language and being, you know, kind of flat footed. And some parents take that very poorly.
Yeah, there's nothing better than telling someone your age. I am 48 years old. No, don't finish that sentence. Don't bother.
Right.
Don't. If you're already telling someone how old, then just whatever. They know how old you are.
Correct. You know, they don't give a fuck. And so I'm like, oh, you don't give a fuck. Okay. Well, then yep. I sometimes I'm like, well, I'm just going to have to hurt your little feelings then. Since you don't care, nobody should care. You know, you hate to be like that, but you know, sometimes you have to do that.
Take care of yourself.
That's very hard. Yeah. That's very hard for everybody in that relationship.
As an aside though, I do love starting a sentence with my age. That I don't know if it's a black thing or not, but that's my shit. I'm never letting it go. I almost did it today.
What happened?
Somebody on our Instagram was like, I love you, Rod and Karen, but I can't deal with the language on the podcast. And I was going to be like, I am 45 years old.
I am allowed to cuss.
What the fuck? If you don't get the fuck off my page.
I say it during sex.
Yeah.
Let them know.
You know what? I've brought up David Goggins a lot, but one of the biggest criticisms that he gets is that he curses. And I'm like, that's all you got from this guy? That is all. Right. Holy shit. He's yelling so many things at you. I'm not saying all of them are right or all of them are wrong or whatever. He's definitely got a message beyond fucking. Listen, every other word is fucking motherfucker. I thought about it because I'm like, wow, people are really bothered. Like they come up to him in the street. Like, you have to curse. I'm like, he did 2,000 push-ups today. Like, yes, I guess shut up.
I don't know this guy, but his job, it sounds like, is to wake you the fuck up. You better curse a little bit.
Well, I just feel like there's some people, like, he inspires me, and I don't curse in OMAT. I curse in here. I don't curse in front of my mother. Like, who cares? But every time I curse, to me, there's cursing and there's cursing. There's cursing where somebody's cursing at you and it's like, you don't have to use that language, right?
Correct.
But there's cursing where I think if you correct this person, it's kind of like correcting someone's accent.
Yeah.
That's just how they talk. Right. Listen to what they're saying instead of like this weird like grammar correction in the middle of something. Like, don't worry about
it. Also, I'm not changing my whole podcast for you. One person.
Well, come on. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We are adults. I am 48 years old.
Yeah. See? You know what, Roderick? You know what happened here? That thing of couldn't be me?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Everybody's like, couldn't be me. Now you're saying I'm 45 years old. I'm 48 years old. You know, I'm 49. Yep. See?
I enjoyed your tipping rant. I hope it wins Best Rant. I hope it's nominated for Best Rant.
I do too, and I agree.
I appreciate y'all reading the article and staying on top of that all the time, because that's one of my pet issues, obviously, tipping.
Get rid of it.
Did not know that we're in the 2% that give 20% all the time, at least.
Yeah, sometimes even
now that explains way the fuck why people are so nice to us.
Yes, because
they're like, oh, they're coming.
Yes,
and they could hate Karen's guts for all I know. I've been thinking it's just because they like Karen. They're probably like, whatever the fuck, they're gonna leave a bigger tip than most people.
Yes, and also I realized, I know when the pandemic happened, a lot of people probably started crying because, you know, we would actually go to places that we haven't been to in a very long time. And we had this sushi place we go to all of the time, New Zealand.
Oh, yeah. New Zealand?
Yeah, is it New Zealand? Yeah, the one on the other side of town.
Yeah, okay.
And whenever we would go in there, sometimes there would be like a new server. And sometimes I've seen it where the new server would come to our table and one of the people that's been there for a long time would fucking bogart her ass out the way. I mean, it would be funny. She'd be walking to the table and I've seen them like literally step in front. I'd be like, nope. Okay, what y'all like? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, what? I was like,
it makes a lot of sense now. 2% of people. That's fucking insane.
That was like, you is not going to fuck up our money, no matter.
That is the saddest truth. That is sad.
You know, we've gotten free shit. I remember one place we went to. I like mimosas. I'm a mimosa bitch. I'm sorry. I'm a brunch mimosa bitch.
I'll be that bitch.
So I love mimosas.
Me too, as well, by the way.
And right? So
that's the best place, bitch move I ever made.
Yeah.
So it's this place we go to all the time. And the bartender actually has served us before. And the bartender knew we were there. So we was actually eating our food. And he was like, oh, I made a crap of mimosa by accident. We have some extra left. Would you want it? I said, yes, please.
Yeah.
And I drank that whole crap by myself. And see, that's what you get when you get good tips. Mm-hmm.
You must have been so drunk.
Oh, I was toe up from the flow up. I'm not even going to lie. But I was like, ooh, unexpected alcohol with my tacos. Do it go together? I don't give a fuck. I'm going to
What are you like drunk? Maybe I should ask Rod. Are you louder, lower, like more babies? Yes, sweetie pie.
You would have a better response to that.
She's just more of everything that you think. And then when we get home, she gets fake horny, but then falls asleep.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, we're not having any sex. I'm going to sleep afterwards.
Yeah, I have to pretend for like, oh yeah, I'm coming right in there. And then it's like, whatever.
No, it's been 3 minutes.
Champagne is hard.
Yeah.
It's like fun for 5 seconds. And you're like, okay, but it's right. Late, right?
Right. Yeah. Like, just lay down and oh yeah, it's gonna be great. All the sex.
Bubbles, worth it.
Oh, hey, yeah. No sex.
Let me just turn the lights off and all right, I'm gonna go play video games.
Yeah. No, within 3 minutes,
I'm gonna go look up a porn review.
Yeah. Exactly.
By the time you put it up in your phone, I am out.
All right.
And so I think that's it. You have anything else?
No, I'm good.
Keith, what was the poll?
The poll was, do you rely on tips to make a living? And the forum results are exactly the same as the Reddit results.
That's never happened.
That's rare.
I think.
0% say yes, they rely on tips. Are they embarrassed? Mm. Do they not know? Does nobody work waiter anymore?
They don't have time to take the poll.
Right. They don't get a right. living wage nowadays, and I'm just confused. The time passed.
Yeah. And the thing about the industry, what's so fucked up about it is years ago when they was kind of making these minimum wage laws, a lot of the restaurant industry got lobbyists in there really, really hard. Like when this first happened, to purposely separate the restaurant because they was literally going to put it across the board to everybody. But they pushed really hard. And so depending on the state you are in, some states go servers make minimum wage and tips. Some are like North Carolina, South Carolina is like 213 in North Carolina and like 312 or something like that in South Carolina because I kind of worked in both states.
Are you saying $3.12?
Yes.
Yep. An hour.
And if you make more than minimum wage in cash tips, you don't even get a check. You don't even get the check for that.
You don't get your check because what they do is they'll go, okay, if your tips are over what you know you would have made in a week, we're not going to pay you.
Mm-hmm. So that's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How is that a law?
And this is just my hypothesis. I think one reason why this happened, a lot of women and a lot of black and brown people work these jobs. I mean, like I'm keeping it with like statistically, if you look at the totality. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, they was like, we don't want to pay women and we don't want to pay black and brown people. So we're going to purposely, a lot of them work these lower wage jobs. We're going to purposely kind of push them out where they're not guaranteed health care. They you don't have to give them insurance. You know, you don't have to have paid time off. Like we're going to purposely put them in these areas where we don't have to pay the benefits that we do everywhere else. That's why a lot of them are very upset about them passing these laws where they go, you can't do this bullshit anymore. I'd rather you get rid of tips, pay everybody higher wages and give them health care, health coverage and all this shit. Because guess what? The cost of my food is going to go up anyway. I will pay 20 more cents for the fucking cheeseburger if this person can have health care. It doesn't make sense to me.
Are they not speaking up, these workers? And so no one's taking care of them. I'm looking at a poll that has a 0%. What's the problem? Apparently there's no fucking problem.
Keith, you know what they're doing? They're crying in the freezer. That's what they're doing.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
I have another alternative theory, which is that the tips just don't go to the workers. So a lot of people don't know because they'll say like, you're at Sears. You just bought a shirt. You want to give us 20% tip? And it's just more going to Mr. Sears. I don't think the cashier gets any of that shit.
I don't think so either. I don't either. And that's kind of the trick. And I know a lot of people, they're fatigued with the tip line. If I'm purchasing certain things, that ought to be illegal for a tip line to show up. I'm at the doctor's office paying the copay. Why is there a tip line? Who is getting this tip? Right. My insurance is covering the bill. Like
Big Pharma, Appia.
Appia's pocket.
That's why she got that money.
We see you, Appia. Mm-hmm. All educated and stuff. That's why you got in that field so you can get the tips. Pushing pills and stealing tips. We see you. We see you. Chew and A. episode 140.
Please hold. Please hold.
Oh, one more episode. Oh.
If you could believe
3751. So Nation.
Oh, hold on.
We remember it. If you don't have it.
Yeah, I got it if you don't got it.
Okay, yeah, you go ahead.
So Nation with Christian Finnegan and Pam Myers.
Yes.
Were they assholes?
Yeah, were they assholes?
No. Well, Christian's Christian, so, you know, and Pam's very nice.
Okay. What would you even do if someone was a Kickstarter backer that got the Be On The Episode, but they were an asshole?
We have tricks.
Oh, shit.
We'd happily say, yeah.
Okay.
That's fine. Right. That's not a problem. But if we didn't want him on, I don't know, we'd figure something out.
Christian found out live on the air that him does leaving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. I was waiting for that to happen to somebody.
Yeah. I think it's going to keep happening.
I debated when to say, and it fit, like reading that letter really fit at the time. So maybe if I saved it to the end or something, it wouldn't have been such a bigger deal. But
Certain people I expect to ask. Because that part of their personality is needling,
yes,
and asking uncomfortable questions. Like I can't imagine Jesse Joyce comes on,
right?
And you just say some shit, and he's like, "Let it go." He doesn't let anything go.
Right, mm-mm. Right.
He goes, "I walked around the block." He's like, "You really walked around the block? Which block? How long was the block?
Did you really walk?
Did you walk, or is like a brisk jog and like
It was a fast pace?"
And neither of them would be embarrassed as if they should know. They're like, "I don't give a fuck. I don't follow you."
Right. Like, I love you and I'm your friend. I'm not in your everyday life.
Right. Christian also found out that Keith was in the Queer Nation, apparently. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of revelations.
Shocking episode, wasn't it?
most shocking moment. He's gonna have two of them.
I like I said, do you have queer lineups? And I meant like, you know, a night of queer people, that kind of thing. I think he heard stand-ups, but either way, it's funny how he jumped in like, yeah, we do.
Right? He's so Nation.
He's so jealous.
This was so perfect. I personally love that Pam was there because Christian came in hot during the mic check. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's not me. I have another witness here. And it was hilarious because he came in, his mic was low for some reason. And I'm like, I am not touching this. And Keith is like, your mic is like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, yeah. Oh.
Whatever control he was working both the headphones and the mic. And I'm like, all right, so we'll figure this out. And it just started. Like, 10 seconds went by. It's like, this is what I do on other shows. I'm like, do you hear other shows, Christian? They sound horrible, don't they? Like, why am I trying to ruin my show, Christian? Well, I don't know what to tell you. Well, we're going to figure it out. So you don't have to tell me anything. I'll tell you things.
Yeah, I'm not kidding that, like, I went into OMAP mode. I'm like, hey, you know what? Legitimately, that was no more than a minute what we just went through. And I'm looking at the time. We have at least 8 more of those. Let's take a sec. Mm-hmm.
Breathe in, breathe out.
And he started laughing, and I'm like, okay.
But Christian does this thing where, like, okay, so the headphones are lower now because my volume's higher over here or something. I'm like, all right, so that's fair. He goes, but I'll make it work. I'm like, but you said that. So why did you say? And he, on the third time, he goes that he said, I'll make it work. I'm like, then I have to believe you. You'll make it work. Thank you.
Now, I wonder if you're Pam, because does Pam get to pick having Christian on the show? Or is...
Pam picked out of a few people.
Okay.
She just decided to do it a different way. You do get to pick a person. So she said, hey, let me come on this week. Just happens to be the way she wanted to do it. And I was like, here's who's coming on this week. So you pick. So she did pick Christian, you know, but it might have just fit her schedule. I don't know.
Right. But I think she's a fan
of Christian.
Christian is a staple of the show.
Yes.
Yeah. So in a way, it's kind of like, you know, Keith's thing of going to the second show to get to like that moment.
Yeah,
this is my dream. If I got to pick my person and it's Christian, yeah, I want him to have a mic check moment. I want him to fucking find out that Kim is leaving. I want him to,
do it all.
To outmatch he's queer friend. Like,
have a queer out.
That was like, oh, I would have been in heaven if he was my person. So
it's
yeah,
true.
That was,
as soon as he came in, I'm like, I wanted to tell Pam, I'm like, we did not stage this. This is just fun today. It just, this is just good for you. But yeah, like we did
you
not
won.
You run the lotto.
This is not content, okay? This is just this how this motherfucker is, okay? I love that stuff. And we're gonna get so many him does leaving jokes. We're getting so many already. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm glad for it. I kind of love it. It makes it hurt less to be like,
yes,
like we're laughing at it. It's gonna happen anyway. We, you know, we're accepting it, and now there's. She comes up with an idea. You know Keith's not going to do that shit.
Nope, because nobody's going to be there to enforce it.
Yeah, you know, if she makes like a bad joke, he's like, well, maybe it can just be Keith and no girls. And just, these jokes are great. Let's laugh.
I'm here for it, you know. And one thing I loved about him is for the fact that, you know, she got cut open and still joked about it, like, oh, right. Hell, talking about
her leg went the wrong things. Way.
Yeah. You know, like she falls on bikes, she fucks up her legs, fucks up her ankle. Keith takes pictures, like it's a whole shabam. And we can crack joke. Of course, we can crack jokes about a leaf.
Oh, Keith, I thought about you, man. Did you see in one of those football games, a person on the sideline got their knee the wrong way?
Oh, no.
It was just, and it wasn't like a player.
It wasn't a player.
It was like a guy that holds the flag thing.
Yes.
And the NFL so fucked. I mean, they're not, the sport is so fucked up. The camera caught the guy holding his leg going the wrong way. The announcers completely ignored it. They did not stop the game. Mm-mm. No stretcher, not even a timeout or commercial break. I was like, what the fuck? You can do that?
What is happening here?
The camera went right by this guy's face. He's like, oh, and they're just like, third and fourth for the Steelers.
Is the flag on the play? What is happening? You do know the chain across the field is down, right? Because he was holding it. What is happening here?
I was on Twitter in all caps, like, why aren't they praying for him?
Yeah.
Right, right. All the side people and the photographers huddle around him and pray.
You know why? Because for a second, they're like, hey, we said we're not taking knees anymore. We must ignore this. This is not this year's thing.
And on top of that, he's the one that needs the prayers. Well, no, why? Because he's not going to have the health care, the health insurance, right. The NFL. Like, he ain't can't be out here like Aaron Rodgers. Tell one of your L's and you back in record-breaking time.
Keith, what was the poll?
The poll was, do you like to travel on your time off?
Now, this was, you know, we were trying to figure out a poll. I wrote that down and Keith goes, who doesn't like to travel? I'm like, are you kidding me? And then he's like, well, I don't like to travel, but I like going somewhere. I'm like, I
like to travel. I don't like to plan.
Yeah, I promise you there's somebody who not only doesn't want to plan, doesn't want to get on an airplane, a bus, in their car, outside of their house. They don't want to plan with other people. They don't want to talk to other people. They don't want to see people they haven't seen in a while. They don't want to see the person they just saw. So, did we get anybody not wanting to travel?
40% say no. They don't want to travel.
Damn.
Damn, that's high.
Kind of high.
And high. I think that one of the largest reasons is people have PTSD from COVID. Like for a lot of people, when they came in for COVID, they like, I'm not going to fuck back outside ever again. So I think in the normal, I think this situation would be lower. Like if you would have asked this in 2019, you would have still had some people, but I think a lower percentage of people. But
well,
you
now I need to know why, because that could be some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think that plays a factor in that number being so high.
That's why they don't want to be on Squid Game. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, especially with Keith saying yes. So that person likes to travel. So somebody likes to travel way, like less than that. And that's where the no is.
I would have for sure thought Keith was a no. Keith doesn't even like when you bring Mike Kaplan to lunch. But he's just going to go to a city full of people he don't know. Okay.
What's like the ideal? Like somebody planned this for me.
And I've went to places: Iceland, Ireland, Canada, Israel. These were all fun adventures.
You didn't go to places. You tagged along with someone.
I tagged along because I don't want to plan. But I enjoyed those things. Organizing.
You didn't enjoy those things.
I didn't enjoy fucking Israel being cunts and me wondering if I'm Team Hamas. But I enjoyed the experience in general.
Wake me up when you're talking about enjoying something, because I can't tell.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Ooh. Oh man.
Yeah. I gave 3 months notice, you guys.
Just gonna come back one day and it's just gonna be key. What happened to the Kickstarter?
What happened to guests? Who's doing the schedule? The fuck if I know.
Who's the day's guest? Whoever stops by the apartment.
Whoever shows up. Whoever
I'm gonna leave my door unlocked today. Let's find out what happens.
Yeah. Oh, it's my super guys.
You forgot rent this month. Let's talk about it.
You see this thing going on with Britney Spears?
I would like your thoughts on that.
Also, you know what? Keith goes, am I depressed? And I go, no, what you're doing is cathartic. I don't know. I would say you should find out. Are you? Yeah. I take back the fact that I was like, I don't think so. We're different. No, maybe you are.
You just have a different way of expressing it, but you know.
He likes to watch Godzilla. Some people like to cut themselves. Like the same thing.
Either way, I'm getting scars, believe me.
He watched all of Squid Game.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Hmm.
Kenda got the name right. Everybody take that in.
I know, it hurts every time. Like I have to put like a period after that E, or because I'm like, there's got to be an S here.
Yes, I do that all the time.
Oh,
I thought Christopher Reeve was Christopher Reeves until
I did too.
Saturday.
That makes sense. You should have just asked me if it's Reaver Reeves, because I'm not sure I knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they was playing this game at the Hornets game and they put his name up and I looked like, yeah, they said,
guess who the Superman actor is to like a young person. They're like, I don't know. And then on the screen it goes, Christopher Reeve. And I'm like, they left the S off? That's weird. But someone's going to get fired.
But do you know, no joke, that the original TV Superman, do you know his name?
George Reeves.
Yeah.
With an S.
Yeah.
That's what people were like, maybe you confuse him. I'm like, I don't know, man. I think I'm just Black. I say Kroger's. I say
Walmart,
Sears. I don't know.
530s.
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese's.
No joke. Services merchandise when I was a kid. I'm like, Grandma, we go to services merchandise. She's like, that's not that. Okay. Don't touch nothing.
Right. Good for you, fancy pants.
What service merchandise?
It's a retail store. It's like Circuit City, but not hood. It's like what Circuit City says it is in a commercial versus when you go into Circuit City.
And I think both of them are defunct now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
They had a big diamond in their logo, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get when you get the Christmas catalog, all the toys are in the back and there's so
yes.
many toys.
Yes, all the toys I can never afford, yeah. and it was right across the street, from the projects that my grandma stayed in at the time, and I just be like, can we go services merchandise? And she was like, we can go. I'm not buying you shit, but yeah, you want to like walk around and see what a Nintendo looks like? Sure.
And everything was a Nintendo. It don't matter what it is. Like, for real. No matter what. Handheld game, palm games. You know, we PlayStation 5. Somebody grandma Nintendo. Is calling it a Nintendo. Yeah. Baby, you want that Nintendo for Christmas? Yes, grandma.
Put that
yes.
goddamn Nintendo up. And I'm like, this is a Sega Genesis. Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, they giving somebody a PlayStation 5. You're talking about, here's your Nintendo. Grandma, yes. This is exactly what I wanted. I thank you very much. You want to correct them. I thank you very much. Loves and kisses.
I think it's an orange juice machine. Thank you.
Who going to correct them? Nobody. They old. So people go, okay. Chumanay, episode 140, Angel from Heaven. That name.
Never change.
Never change. Got a coloring book, yay.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yay. I'm very excited about the coloring book.
Yeah, Newsy did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
I want one. Adult coloring. I got stencils and shit over here that I be coloring books with. I will have a ball with that.
Mm-hmm. That's we'll quality. Send you guys one. Of course we'll send you one.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, my God. Clown Monday. Oh, I'm going to do so many edibles and fill this in.
With all of the rainbow colors. I'm for real. I got like a whole suitcase full of pencils that you
can handle. This is amazing. You guys are in for a treat out there.
Yes, y'all are. You can color everything in it. So I'm here for adult coloring, yay. And Newsy, I too put things in my phone through Siri because I don't remember shit. So I'd be like, hey, Siri, put it in my phone. We share like a family calendar. So I put it in there to remind me and to remind Roger we got shit. And then I
smart. Have
to remind myself 2 days before the event to remind me that yes. the event is coming up. Then an hour before the event to remind me. Because sometimes you get so busy and so caught up. If you don't pay attention, you're like, oh, shit, I'm supposed to be somewhere.
And sometimes I'll put stuff in the family calendar.
Oh, Lord.
What? It's things that we both need to know about.
Tell them what you be putting in there.
You know, like titty time. Like, I think everybody should take a little time out to do like titty time every like couple times a week.
Look at the calendar. So and he'd be like, you get my reminder. I'm looking at my like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, you know.
It was scheduled.
Those are the types of reminders that he likes to put in there.
You put the doctor's appointments. I put titty time. It's, you know what? It's so hard.
Honestly, that is inspiring. I'm going to put that in the calendar.
Put it in the calendar.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck it. Who Let's doesn't find like out titty what that time? Is.
Let's go. Well, for those with titties, that means it's time to rub them titties. That's exactly what that means.
It's what you think it means. It's not complicated. Yeah.
No. It's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes the longer than others, it's not a big thing. I'm like, okay, that's what time it is. I'm glad you reminded me. I didn't know what time it was.
Don't want to forget.
Gotta check the calendar.
Gotta check the calendar. And shout out to Newsy for being back in these fucking streets. Yeah. I'm glad that you quit this foolishness and you is back out here with stories to tell. I'm here for it.
An intense episode of The Bear broke out. Mm-hmm. That was nice. Mm-hmm. That was all improv. That was good stuff. Y'all should win an Emmy for best comedy for that argument. And then, I have some juice. Okay. I got some juicy. Oh. Ted Alexandro came up on this episode.
Oh, right. And explain.
Okay. All right. So I'm in a group chat that there's comedians that are friends with him that know him, or I guess used to be friends. And it seems like he might be a bit of a gender essentialist now. No, like perf.
Oh no!
What does that mean?
Like there's only two genders?
Yeah, like there's no such thing as trans, and trans people are trying to, you know, take over women's sports, but the real feminist way is to be kind of like J.K. Rowling. And I don't know how many people know it, because I don't think he's like loud about it, because, you know, then he might, you know, he's like kind of famous, and you got Jim Gaffigan. Don't nobody want that smoke, even if you believe that shit.
Right.
You don't want to make that your Twitter. But
it just came up.
I think it the comedians have a long simmering beef because they were real cool, but then in 2016 he was like, I ain't voting, and I don't think they liked him since then, because like, fuck you then, Ted, we need these votes. And then Hillary lost and it was like extra mad, so I feel like they ain't like him for a long time, but it wasn't really like relevant,
right?
But then I guess he kind of had some public comments about trans people that I think he ended up deleting those like tweets and stuff, but they would take like a screenshot, put it in the group chat and be like, look at what he's doing. And I'm like, oh, wait, Ted? I don't think Ted would do that. Like, he's kind of like the opposite of that guy. And they're like, well, something happened. He's down with them now. So I'm just saying, you can go on his Twitter and stuff and find out for yourselves. I got to do some Q&A, Newsy. That's right. I knew some shit.
Breaking news.
Boom. I know how it feels now. Oh, it feels so good. This isn't my life. It's their life. It's their friends. Fierce. It's all entertainment.
Anything else?
That's it for you and name. But don't forget, game show, game show.
Yes. The next is game show, game show. This.
We watched it on YouTube.
Yes, watched it on YouTube.
It's still up.
Yes, it's still up. This was fucking hilarious. It was a cat tax.
Cat attack out the gate.
Yes. All of a sudden, I thought came he was on joking. And I was like, what's happening? I was like, what is happening? I was like, oh, this is part of the scale. I was like, oh, the fuck? No, it's not. You showing like blood shots? I was like, oh, you got fucked up, though. Like, I was like, don't fuck with me random and poor, get here in the business.
Poor Casey. Oh, my God.
Yes.
So we, like, well, I thought he was joking because we just saw him a minute ago. And then, and we practiced, you know how we practiced the intro. And then Newsy goes, Casey James Lingo. And you hear, oh, fuck. And I'm like, oh, that's funny, right? Because he's chaotic, whatever. And then, and then we're like, oh, shit, this is real. He comes on, he's bleeding.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, just the cat. I'm like, holy, this can't. Okay.
And then he wouldn't stay on screen. It was the fucking best. He kept going off and coming back in and walking away. I was like, it's going to participate in this shit. What's happening here?
Team dog.
Him walking away is always so funny. Like last time he was on Keith and the Girl, and he's done this before, where maybe it's to take care of one of his animals or something fell or something. But anytime he goes to do something, he's like, oh, and then I have my phone and then over here. It's like, Casey, we can talk. No one needs to know a thing. And then I, you know, and then just come on, then.
That shit is the best. We find out that Gasto is here for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because mm-hmm.
That's a lot of pressure.
The cat had more points than he did at one period of time.
There's a lot of pressure as a black person when you get to the song game and it is a black song.
Right.
And Gastor had
a lot of pressure. Because I was in the house yelling at Gastor. I said, real love, Mary J. Blige.
And he was just oblivious.
He was like, I don't know. I feel like I should have known that or something. Like, no.
Yes, you should have.
Over Casey.
Right.
Yes. Yes. That was a wordsmith. He was like, I'm going to make these links. He was buzzing in. Didn't he know the answers? He was like, I'm going to buzz in and try to figure it out as I go.
It's a nice strategy.
Yes. We found out that water has caffeine in it, apparently.
My goodness. Mm-hmm. My goodness.
I was like, did water get on the list? I thought the answer was bottle. I was like, oh, all these are liquids that go in a bottle or a cup.
Right. You would think the order would be the opposite. She would say... She would use water as a clue to get us to caffeine and then say, I think I have to quit.
Yes, everybody was confused, but apparently him just said it with a chest. And I was like, oh, okay, I that's my friend. Let's go, man. Okay.
I didn't double check my work. And so that word was supposed to be somewhere else, I think. And it made its way onto the document. And because I'm looking at three different screens while this whole thing is going on, right. I'm trying to follow like all this stuff. So it might be that I had no idea I was saying water because I give myself enough of like backing up so that I can engage and read. Right. I was not reading properly.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's one clue. I think it was and the girl. When everybody started demanding, like, well, who had a talk show in this movie? And at first, him just like, I don't know, somebody. It's fuck. Like, why are we stalling over this? Next answer. You know, I don't know these people.
You gonna take me to court? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Yes. Why are we playing? And the thing is, it's funny how, and I guess because I'm the South. Him to say something they call white people, and I immediately said cracker, and nobody on the screen figured it out.
You said it immediately.
And I was like, I guess because I'm from the South, and you know, like I'm more kind of that word is used more commonly down here. So I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, nobody can guess that.
I was thinking cracker didn't seem to fit because the way she said it, she was going for the answer crack, right?
Right. Right.
So let's not, don't be taking bows over there like you made any kind of fucking sense.
Oh, I'm going to take bows.
I see. Yeah, it's kind of like Newsy's game where you guess the title. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes you got to get people in the right range, and then it's easier to work back from Cracker than the other clues because y'all had missed all those.
Right.
And the last thing is nobody knows who won the game. Everybody get a good time. Everybody got brownie points, and yay, team individually. I was like, let's go. I really don't know who won, but this was a fun time.
Yep. The best way to beat Key.
That's insane.
Everyone wins, then we all beat Key.
Yes. Yep. That's all that matters. So this was actually really fun. And y'all better go watch it before they decide to take it down because it is worth the watch. I promise you. And the last thing is last week on Keeping the Girl. Great job, Roderick. shout out to the studio audience.
Top form.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did their job. They participated. Yes.
Shout out to those people over there.
Yes. So no, the best thing ever. You have anything else to add?
Mm-mm.
All right.
Great job.
If nobody else has anything else to add, I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this bad boy up. KeithandTheGirl.com.